This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening, everybody. 7 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. This is Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee, coming to you live from Studio C in the heart of a nice and lovely day in Phoenix, Arizona. Alongside me is Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, all in studio, ready to go. Oddly, all on time, all here.
Early, even.
What, Marnie?
I feel like that's pointed.
What happened? No,
but something's gone terribly wrong in the universe.
Something. I don't know what it is.
Somewhere a butterfly is dying and can't make a tornado somewhere else.
We're not in Nebraska anymore.
Well, parts of Nebraska don't think we're in Nebraska either.
That's a good point.
Terrible. They got the shit kicked out of them with twin tornadoes.
Did you see that?
I saw it on the news. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't there.
I was. That's how I got here so fast. In with the wind.
Totally.
Oh, I see.
It just blew right into town. That was the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it did a lot.
That was seriously science fiction movie time. I mean,
really?
Well,
there weren't cows.
The movie Twister, they had them, the twins and that.
Oh,
and
that's right.
I thought it was made up.
Yeah.
And then nope. And not only did they just had little ones to be more realistic, they stayed on the ground for an hour.
That's wild.
And they were just such big, mm-hmm. big funnels.
Yeah.
Like, not
mm-hmm.
just like.
But just staying on the ground for an hour, which just means that there's no life left at the end of that.
Just a total destruction.
Yeah. That's how.
There were people walking around saying that they didn't remember what used to be there. They're like, what?
Like, they couldn't get their bearings.
They couldn't remember where the things were. Yeah, they couldn't get their bearings.
Not to overshadow what they just went through, but a few years ago when mm-hmm. Joplin got blown away and my cousin would send me pictures, I honest to God couldn't tell you where it was. I this is the intersection of this street and that street. Right. And I know what it's supposed to look like, but there's no way you could have proved it to me. That just nothing looked right.
I understand that. Oh, that's awful.
And even if you don't know specific by name what's there, you're just used to an image of something being there. So when you drive, it's just like it's a landmark. It's
you know
there.
To turn
right.
with the XYZ.
Yeah. Whatever that is. Yeah. Even though that's you might not know what the name of the store or the restaurant or whatever. But yeah, just landmark. You're used to that visual cue.
It's how I drive from Phoenix to Colorado, like to Durango. I don't know any of the highway names. Like if someone said, give me directions, I'd be like, well, then you want to drive a little bit past this one bridge and you'll see this kind of one mountain.
I can never travel.
And then you're going to turn there.
And then there's a left turn that makes no sense.
How do you
whatsoever.
Get here? How do you get here?
I'm actually pretty directionally like competent.
Okay.
But when you go somewhere enough, you do stop looking at the signs.
And it's like highways 8 and highway 60. I guess I don't know those. I get around town. I can tell you like.
Well, 8 is what gets you out of here from the 10 to the San Diego.
No, so I made that up.
So 60 is the one that's going out to Mesa.
You go way up out of Flag and you keep driving
that's
until
40.
You get to this certain bridge
the
and then a mountain and then
the
a
road.
Thing and then you turn.
And there's a weird left turn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there really is like this weird left turn that you're like, oh, there's no other way to describe that.
Okay.
Because you're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
And then I know I drive through this town and as soon as I get past this thing, then I make another left and
gotcha.
Pretty soon I'm in Cortez, Colorado.
Okay. Never
pretty,
been.
Pretty soon,
but tell you what, this little motherfucker is what's going to get me.
That's true.
I use it everywhere, though. I kind of just even if I know where I'm going, I'll ask it just to see if it wants
to
throw
make
me an
sure.
alternate route.
Yeah,
yeah. That's
I like to take a turn and then be like,
yeah, fuck you.
Yeah. Do you know where to take me
recalculating.
Now?
Recalculating.
Yeah. Recalculating.
But I did learn. In regards to like Google Maps. I did learn that if you use it, because I learned when I was in Denver, it actually, because it's updated all the time with current traffic conditions, it will reroute you.
My car does that.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't
remember that day that the car was taking us one way, and I'm like, I wonder why it picked that. And it was when I first got the car, and we were playing with it, and then I'm like, let's turn on the radio, and it was a big accident.
Oh, I don't worry.
So it made us, avoid, it made us
smart
like, go like,
cars.
Yeah, it made us go like out of the way, and it, the,
it seemed
car,
to us, but it got us there faster.
Yeah.
Technology is
so
amazing.
Let me ask you really quickly, and just as
sure.
we, kind of about the tornadoes, because I was watching that obviously on the news, and what a devastating thing to wake up to or come out of the, crawl out of the cellar to. I mean, what do you do? What do you do tomorrow? I mean, the next day, like, what do you do?
The first, yeah, that's the first thing, you make sure everybody's okay, and then from there, you just kind of start sorting through junk, and some of it's yours, and some of it's not.
Yep.
And you just, but I mean, where do you live?
Where do you live?
No, you don't. I mean, that's part of FEMA comes in with trailers or tents, or you have relatives that you can go stay with. I mean, there's not in some cases like entire, and even in my hometown, like hotels that other
schools,
the people
would
have gone
stay.
To schools gone.
Yeah.
The entire high school gymnasium gone.
That Joplin one where the school was gone, the hospital got decimated.
Yeah, so there were,
I think
so
that just happened here. They said there was a school, the fire station, like people that would help you. That's all gone.
So many things. Yeah, like
that's always wondered, like, where
do you go? You just like come out of your ground cellar and then what?
And
that's
like,
such a horrible thing to face.
Where do I live now?
Right. Yeah.
I suppose that
with
is
this shirt,
where does
this shirt attached to that tree that seems to be mine now?
Well, I suppose that,
because I think that's my tree.
It's a good call then to perhaps us or our listeners or Ships at Sea, that really there are some really great aid agencies. I don't know which ones they are, but
the Red Cross.
Red Cross is a really big deal. To like go maybe to make a small contribution even to help those folks.
No, they're going to need it because there's a lot of destruction up there.
Yeah, when,
and
when
we're
really
in
here,
the season.
Absolutely. Yeah. But
so
here, if they needed something, like for the fires up north and whatnot, if you have extra blankets or obviously in good repair, or go to Big Lots or something like this and get a bunch of blankets to be able to take them, and you can donate that.
Directly to the Red Cross,
To the Red Cross. And water is
huge.
The big deal.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, especially now.
Not for the fire, but for drinking.
Correct. Right.
That's the one that no one ever
One bottle of water on the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, but that's something that if you don't want to necessarily make a...
They start to think about it more. But.
Yeah. If you don't want to make a monetary donation, if you feel like giving things is
more kind of your
absolutely,
bag.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Gift cards to places that some people don't like, or you know, Walmart or food grocery stores potentially.
Yeah.
Big Lots, things
like
that.
Good.
It's just an idea.
And it's really important to think about when you see that kind of destruction and what happened in Joplin. I know a lot of people here, I know a lot of people all over the country, but you know, you just like, we are not faced with that. So you
really,
just have to
not.
Think about those folks that are, and it just is very
Well, I even say, as long as I've been in Phoenix 21 years, and I remember Mom saying before I even moved here that since I've been here, that I haven't really seen a monsoon storm.
Yeah.
Because it really, a few years back, there was one on the west side that ripped a bunch of air conditioners off the tops of houses and things. But I really haven't, I haven't seen a lot of destruction.
Oh, summer of 08 was the two, well, 03 was the one that destroyed, then Scottsdale caved in the Goodwill and knocked out, like Scottsdale Road got
torn to
shit. And then there was the two storms that collided, like right at 7th Street and McDowell in the summer of 08. And moved the planes at the airport. All the planes were moved.
Oh, I remember a little bit of that.
And all the palm trees got destroyed on Palm Lane. Like, there's now only half the palm trees that
there
were.
So half Palm Lane?
Yeah, half Palm Lane. And 7th Street lost power for almost like three to
sure.
It was like 2 or 3 weeks that 7th Street was without power.
I don't recall
there was
that.
A big
that
one I in, I like, 95, maybe? Because I was just going into high school. So it would maybe like 94.
No, you're right. Like 95,
96. 94, 95,
96. That's the one that Mom was talking about, all the air conditioners.
Like water went all the way up to my truck. I was at school. And you couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why was I driving? Why was any of us driving? We just didn't know. You didn't realize. And you go out, and all of a sudden the roads were just all the way up.
Awesome. It was really, it was pretty intense.
I think it was summer of 94. It was one of those 2 years.
Yeah, 94, 95.
Because the doors in my house got blown open, like both doors from the negative pressure, like a microburst hit, and both doors
It was
flew
a big one. My mom's school, the roof was ripped off of her whole entire, like one whole building. And all of, you know, of course, where they has the newish, at that time, technology center, right? So everything was destroyed. And there were... our house, all the power was out, all of it. And my mom was at church for the night and was stuck there. And our windows were like rattling. And my neighbors across the fence, I was sitting on the front porch thinking, oh, this is like a normal storm. Until I saw my neighbor's fence literally rip out. It was a wooden fence, but rip off the wall and pick up and like swirl in the sky. And my dad came out and goes, it's time to come inside. And the windows were shaking. Like, we went, he's from Illinois. And so he kind of had that in his head. We went down in the basement in the bathroom and closed the door and like sat it out. My mom was at church and was stuck there for the night. Wow. No power, all power lines down, in water up to your knees. It was really bad.
You can't go outside because with the power lines
is down in the water.
Right. Water.
Right.
stay.
You're living out the last chapter of Carrie, the novel by Stephen King. No, and the one from oh my god, I just choked on that. The one from 08, the summer of 08, I was working and I was on the 10th floor. And the rain was coming. You know, there's those big oval windows. Well, they're not sealed completely tight, as we can tell you, just every winter at about 4 a.m. when it turns freezing on the 10th floor.
Oh, yeah.
And the rain was just coming in the windows onto electricity. And we were like...
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And we were like, what kind of storm is this? That the rain is like just in it and flowing freely through the windows.
Oh, my God.
Defibrillators coming to town.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are... the monsoons are pretty intense, but certainly... we get off pretty easy in the like natural disaster department here in
Phoenix. I was gonna say up north.
Phoenix.
God. Yeah. And not natural. People setting these fires are making me crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's that battle between
cigarette smokers, but then lightning is a big lightning, part of a lot of them too.
And that would be natural, and that it's awful, but
right. But that's the way nature takes care of things. And you know, when all these people, it's been the fight for how long in regards to the forestry division and all this stuff.
They do control burns all the time,
right? Sure. But then there's areas that haven't been burned in forever or cleaned out even, and it's just all that fuel. Just like when the Ponderosa fire went up, was however many years ago that was. It's just all that area that had never been cleared out, and it just there's just literally match on gas. Yeah. I can't think today. Wow, I'm awful. Are you fully online with everything? Do you appear to be now?
Okay. Like it's seeming. This one I was not, and this I was not.
Okay. Marty, this is great. You have like a whole setup. You're like, let me check every screen.
Well, you have to.
Yes, yeah. Good.
I made some.
She is so multimedia now.
I had made some
enhancements. And the audio's working and everything.
Yes. Things are going good right now. Everything is firing on all cylinders. Katie,
all right.
But Katie brought food. She brought fruit this week and not a steak or a filet or whatever.
I actually had a filet for dinner before I came.
Oh, well, there. Just
there
ran
it
down.
Is.
To,
there right. it is.
But I did bring also this Ready Whip to share. You can put it on your finger.
Huff
it. Or there's so many things you can do with it. I wanted to share.
Huffing is one of those things that we did real drugs and drank. We didn't have to go through the kitchen fridge looking for shit to do.
I just say
so it. I never heard of that until
I wouldn't know how to do it.
I don't either.
I just say it because it sounds funny.
Whippets I did in high school before I knew how many brain cells one killed. And then I quit. Actually, like, quit doing them.
That was one of those things that I'm like, what the fuck are you people doing? Smoke a joint.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about any of it, so it doesn't matter. I wanted to share with you, we have a new listener. I think I shot the text to both of you. I don't know if you were on it or messaged you. And I don't know if I'm going to say the name right. It's either Stefan or Stephen Allinger or Allinger. He actually found us. He's 27 years old from Vancouver, Canada.
Vancouver, British Columbia.
It says, I got an email from him. It says, I just want to say that the show is an absolute joy to listen to. All the cast is amazing, and I swear I've almost peed myself over how funny you all are. I'm recently out and proud, 27-year-old, and he identifies himself as a pansexual male. And I Googled that to find out. That's a person who finds no specific attraction. It's a general attraction to anything that's beautiful or wonderful.
We had commented, wasn't that Morgan had stated?
She thought from the very get-go that that was her thing.
No. Okay.
Because remember when we were doing the LGBTQ,
right,
LMNOP,
NAACP.
And then
P stands for pansexual.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
In a roundabout.
And you know what? You know what's better about that? I actually like that better than, I feel that that exists more than bisexuals. Maybe it's because I'm predisposed to already kind of be pissed off at bisexuals.
Yeah.
But pansexuals are.
Because they're stealing from both sides of the...
Most people are.
Because when we get to the rub it, it works, like, you're hot of it, some sex, and if we rub the right things, we're all going to get there. So, sure.
Okay.
A glass of wine, a good
Whether
time, you're
pretty,
I'm pretty.
Whether it's a pan
pretty,
or a bi, it doesn't
right.
matter.
Right. No, but there's a difference between, like, I can't commit to, like, I don't, like, I have no desire. Like, I'm just... You just say, like, we're going to get off. You know what I mean? We're here. We got wine. Nuts, some whipped cream.
Let's go.
It's going to happen.
We're here. We may be queer. Get used to it.
Continuing on with his email, it says, he's a 27-year-old, newly out pansexual male. He found our show. He finds our show lifts him up when I find a crap load of bias and hate thrown my way, our show lifts him up. He listens to your show on his cell phone every day. And actually, he, because he works, when our show is live, he doesn't have the ability to get us live, so he has to listen to other shows. It does say that he works every afternoon from 3 to the next day. So,
woo.
Right, so he's overnight. But anyway, I just want to give a shout out to him. He nice. He randomly stumbled Welcome. On our show while searching for radio talk shows, and he found most of them were boring. Then I found the show, and I look... Maybe I look like a crazy person with my earbuds in barking when I tune in, but I don't care. So anyway, hello, Stephen.
And a great big shout out to Florida for all their contributions to our humor.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
more this week, really.
Tour it not for them.
Maybe we should give them sort of like a supporting cast role in our credits for the show.
We totally should.
We should just put like a
supporting
little,
a cast little Florida.
Florida.
Map.
Back here. Florida.
Like a little map. Yeah.
Well, I've also been thinking of doing is getting a large, I want to get a United States map, and then I was going to get the rest of the world map. Mm-hmm. And so we could put pins on where people,
oh, that's fun,
people
Clayton.
Have found us.
Oh, that would be great.
That. I thought geographically, that could be fun.
Not undesirable found.
Right it, and I agree, like even like with the Cairo, Egypt, I have to look and figure out where stuff is, and what freaks me out is how close a lot of that shit is to each other.
Yeah,
and it's like a fine line between chaos and craziness and then people who are fine.
Yeah. Right.
It's almost like a tornado of hate.
They're living together in an area
and
the size of New England. Yeah,
right. Yeah.
And in certain regions two tornadoes.
Yeah, yeah. No yeah. kidding. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, look at all these people in the chat room. I just opened up in the chat room. Hello, chat room.
Hello.
Hi,
guys.
Aww. Very nice.
I'll have to go in there.
Well, it's there for your taking.
I think it might be.
It's lovely.
It is.
By the by, if at any time anybody wants to leave, well, you two probably don't really care, but if at any time you feel the desire to go to the living room to look at the flat screen and just watch soccer for a moment, please do.
Oh,
I've been watching it.
Did you get the picture that I tagged you with of the guy from Iran? Persian, I'm sorry.
Persian.
That I shared with you from Dr. Chris.
I think, stand by. I got to look to see what, I don't know. How long ago was this?
I don't know, whatever, like 3 or 4 days ago.
Okay, I'll have to look again because I don't see it. But
I don't know why I bothered to send you. You never watch anything I send you.
I probably saw it, but who knows?
But there have been seriously a gaggle, a murder, whatever you want to call them. Do you know it's a murder of crows?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
so
I
love
it.
Yeah.
Oh, I get all tingly when I think
a
of that.
A little bit.
Casey Kasem,
I know where you learned that.
Oh, I know, yes. Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. There has been a lot going on.
The German team, spectacular. Today it was, okay, here's a sentence you'll never hear me say again.
Okay.
Till tomorrow. I was at the gym watching the World Cup. And I'm like, this is turning into a shower fantasy as I was watching. I can't remember maybe Russia and I can't remember who they were playing today. Every fucking member of both teams hot, and then they do this little grapevine, like they're in a jazz hands. What were those things called?
And you love that even more.
Yeah, what were those old classes called? Like, what did you used to go take? Aerobics.
Aerobics.
Oh. I was for some reason thinking of square dancing, which is extra weird.
Square dancing.
I don't know why I got that square dancing.
Aerobics just doesn't seem like that long ago.
But they were grapevining backwards.
Jazzercise.
And I was like, oh my God.
Like jazzercise, I could see. Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Oh, it's been just every minute.
Well, you know that now that cardio is like, you might as well sit home and be fat. You know what I mean? If you're not lifting weights, you're not doing anything.
You're not doing a thing.
I'm like, all right, then I guess I'm going to go sit home because I really don't want to sit there and lift something over and over again. Like, I don't want to lift anything once. Why would I repeat it 10 times?
And they came out with a word. I was actually going to.
That's awesome.
Why would I repeat that unpleasantness?
Or lift, I didn't like it the first time.
The phrase, lift your own body weight. Fuck you.
No one's that strong.
Exactly.
No, I would never want
I'm
someone
a first
to do that. Justin Unga at the Democratic Party, I would, you know, there was one point when there were a lot of women that worked there. And so he would be so offended when people would come and ask him to help lift. He's like, I am delicate. I don't lift. And by the by, I don't help. So get out of my office.
Yeah.
And he was dead serious. I do not help. I'm sorry. That's if you're looking for help, you're at the wrong place.
One day, the topic came up of like, oh, Al never said that. And like, what has Al never said? And my old friend Dave goes, okay, the peanuts are bad for talking and eating.
Yes, they are.
My friend Dave goes, two things he'll never say. I'll help with you and I'll carry that.
Yes.
And then
you adjusted.
The only time I would ever carry voluntarily, and it's usually because some kind of a shame thing, was for my, I would carry stuff for my mom.
Oh,
but my sisters, I'm like, you packed it, you carry it. Like,
oh, nice.
I got no interest in that shit.
Oh, I want to find, there was a I saw it and I should have wrote it down earlier, but I forgot. There's a new term now for the soccer, like all of the shirts off and all the stuff. They're calling it like a
it's man
like,
love.
No. No, they have a new term. It's like sport porn something. They have a new term for it.
I'm gonna Google sport porn right now.
I think HuffPost is who had it earlier. But it was some new sports term, and I was laughing because then I had to watch the video. It's like a 4 minute video of all these boys.
Sport porn just brings me X videos, Aloha Tube, all the tubes.
Have we not already learned about what you can and can't Google? Have we not?
I have no block on anything internet here because I want us to be free information all the time.
We should be.
What was the thing we said something asshole a couple of weeks ago and it was like
clown or something?
Ass clown, and it went all wrong.
That's right. It went really wrong. Oh, that was really bad.
Oh,
I went home
with an ass
2 weeks ago. Stop. I went home like 2 weeks ago and was looking something up about sex ed. Aaron,
you got a guy named Ed showing you how to have sex.
Not Chad Campbell. I can't think of who it was right now. David Shapiro, I believe.
Yeah.
I had done this thing in Tempe, getting the language changed for sex ed and going through all this stuff. And so it took me to this one article that said people still go crazy about sex ed in schools and what can and cannot be said and all this. So I looked up and I put in sexual education, teenagers or something like this, because, you know, as far as like schools.
Yeah, you want to hear, read about it.
Right. Like, what is this? What's the big deal? Yeah, except all it is like child porn.
Ooh. No.
Or like, well, that's what it seemed like to me. They're like teenagers and I'm like, ah! Just delete, like, quickly, get me the hell out of here. And all I could think was, oh my God, that's now on my, you
search
know,
history.
Like, search history. And I'm thinking, how many people would, that seemed very harmless, putting that in. But I was really surprised that that's what came up. Teens. Which obviously could mean 18, 19-year-olds, but...
I cannot find that word. I was looking for it. But they did a whole thing about this word, this new coined phrase in regards to all these... It's, you know how, like, there's bromance, and there's all these other terms that come up. Well, it's a sport... they're equating it to porn, but it's sports or soccer porn or something. It was... And I bought it.
I'd watch soccer porn.
Porn.
Yeah, there's nothing... You Google soccer porn, I'm going to stay around for the whole movie. But I saw these two guys say, and this is when I realized, like, oh my God, these shorts are too loose.
yours or theirs?
Everybody's. except for I could tell their religion by theirs. But there was two guys. One had taken off his shirt to celebrate something, which I guess
Who
was
cares?
The beauty of the other one. And then...
I'm celebrating your beauty.
But they were these two unbelievably hot guys, one shirtless, and the one was like, as he's talking to him, he's just caressing his face like a lover. And then they got into each other and they kissed each other like just missed the lips.
Yeah.
And then the other one started stroking his face, and then they did this like funky, like we all grew up in Harlem handshake, and I was like, what did I just watch? Because I am so aroused.
God.
I am super ready for a cold shower. Or a hand towel and a lotion.
Either way.
Whichever one I can get to more discreetly. It was fucking hot.
Well,
where was this happening?
I was watching the World Cup today.
Oh, World Cup.
It's something, it's a play on Sporno, because I look up Sporno and what comes up with Cristiano Ronaldo, who is very lovely to look at, Mr. Ronaldo. Oh my God! Well, at any time you feel like you want to bow out from the show and go watch some soccer, please do. It's enjoyable for everybody. Well, and especially gay men.
And just your update on entertainment is what we're talking about in the room right now. It's a show called Orphan Black. It's on BBC or BBC America. I'm not sure which. The one girl plays like 8 or 9 parts. She's a clone. Her name is Tatiana something or other. And she was last year. Everyone was pushing for her to get an Emmy nom because Maslany is her last name. This show is so uber cool, and like 8 different characters.
Uber cool.
Frau Meslany is really getting it done. And Harrison just found it, and it's one of those shows that I just got sick of asking people if they've seen it. But
like you do with most things.
Yeah, with most things. But I think it's on Netflix. Entertainment Weekly, they had such a hard on for it that I just happened to catch it on on demand on whichever one it was, BBC or BBC America. And it's really fun, like a really good teen story.
You're watching a teen story?
It kind of. She's like 18 to 20. She's that age. But it really is cool as all the clones come together and somebody's trying to kill all the clones. And she plays all these different roles and they interact with each other. And it's, you just can't explain it properly, but
apparently
the show
not.
Is super cool. And she's just amazing.
Sporno. And actually, if you Google Sporno, there is, I found something, I'll put it on the Facebook page because it's really funny. Sporno, 20 pictures in which sports and porn collide.
Right. But
and it is hilarious.
But there was more to the, spornosexual. That was it.
Oh, a spornosexual.
Spornosexuality and sporno. Forget metrosexual, it's spornosexual. And it was just clip after clip after clip after clip of these boys just
running.
Yeah,
like stroking each other's face and kissing on the lips.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that good in Europe? Isn't that what they do in Europe?
Not like that.
Well, I mean, they're on national TV. We're on worldwide TV.
Oh, my God. And like a lover's caress. I was aroused. I can't even tell you. It was dirtier than watching someone suck a dick. Honest to God, was.
It was not.
It was. It was so intimate.
Was there a red card pulled
out
of
it? It was so, like, intimate and loving. And, oh.
Well. Whew, it's warm
you're
in
just
here.
Enjoying thinking about it all
I'm
over
a bit
again.
Warmly just talking about it.
Do we have headlines to do or something? I think we should probably get on. What do you mean you don't know?
Aren't we going to go around and say what we did this week?
Oh, I forgot.
I actually have something to share.
We've been watching porn.
Sporno.
Yeah. Katie June, what you been up to?
Well.
You have something to share, you said.
I do.
Yeah.
And... I am not, I don't have that one thing that I thought I had at one point. Hashimoto's is ruled out.
I don't even remember what it was.
I got some blood work done, right? Finally.
You have blood.
I do have blood.
God.
So I have been just like disastrously tired, way beyond normal. I think I had told you guys a couple weeks ago, I thought I had this Hashimoto's because of the body pains and aches and all these other things. So
sure.
My thyroid is a little bit funky, right? But I'm on the medication for that. So I had blood work done, and my doctor calls me last night. She happens to be a friend of mine, so she called me and said, so your blood work came back, and she's like, most thing, you know, you're fine. And I was like, oh, okay.
Overall,
yeah,
right.
Good.
But I do have, this is, I really have been wanting to get your take on it.
I got Google ready.
I have something.
WebMD.
It is called Epstein-Barr virus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Share.
Share. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thanks to the pioneering of Share.
Which, like, most people have, like 90% of the population. But in most people, it's dormant. It's like the...
I have Roseanne Barr.
You know how they tell you that you have, like, everybody has, like, a cancer cell?
Yeah, they call it the yuppie flu. That's what they used to call it.
So it is like... But I have the actively, because you have it, I guess everyone has it. It's either dormant or it's like active. So I actively have this.
Okay.
And I just feel so happy to have like something.
Good Lord. Seriously?
Like to have.
No, and if you've never been through a health scare, like with the epilepsy, if you've never been through something where they just can't find it out and you just stay sick. The biggest relief is when they tell you that they know.
We figured it out.
At least we know what it is.
Right.
Like now we have a. But it's so frustrating to just.
Because I have gone to my doctor for probably the last couple of years and said to two different doctors, I am so physically exhausted, like something's not right.
Sure.
And two other doctors have said, you're just a mother. You know, you're busy. And I'm like, okay, like the first time. And then after that, I said, this is not motherhood. Like I'm so physically exhausted. Yep. And so anyway, just to have this friend of mine do the blood work and just to say, like, here's something that's going on and there's literally nothing you can do about it other than get lots of rest. It's like, if you look, Google it, it's all in conjunction with mono, right? So kids get it, it's all mono. So this is like adult version, I guess.
Sure.
And it really is through Cher's pioneering that they found it. It was Cher going back and forth to the doctor complaining
during
about
her just like Jesse James tour.
Chronic,
that's all I have to say.
Really?
Exhaustion?
Yeah. Chronic fatigue
Body aches? Yeah. That's what I thought. And I'm like...
isn't it chronic fatigue syndrome?
Yeah, chronic fatigue. And that's what I went and told my doctor. This last time I said, I researched everything before. I'm like, I have this, or I have chronic fatigue, or I've got anemia, or I've got like anything where the top diagnosis was you're completely so fucking exhausted.
The next time you go to the doctor and you have to describe, it's called just say you're profoundly tired. That's
okay.
That's the key word that they're listening
for. I didn't know that. I should have asked you before.
It's a good word to throw. If you say you're
profoundly tired.
Because exhaustion sounds like you're trying to be Mariah Carey.
Don't say it with an accent. Because if you say it with an accent, then it just sounds like you're a douchebag.
You're uppity.
But I
you're like, oh, I
And I was telling them, I mean, I was like sleepy to the point of nausea, like sickness if I didn't take a nap, like tired, so tired I'm crying in the middle of the afternoon because like I can't function and my daughter's awake or whatever. Anyway, there's nothing you can do for it but rest.
Go on tour.
Vitamins,
endlessly.
Like,
put
which
album,
I'm working
Katie.
In. But like vitamin C, like eating lots and lots of vegetables and, you know, normal shit you're supposed to do anyway. But it just
was. There's almost nothing that vitamin C can't. There's almost nothing that the genius of Linus Pauling.
Yeah, vitamin C and D. That's the other thing. But I'm getting plenty of that. I live in Phoenix.
So when you get around to me, the vitamin D story comes in.
Okay. Yeah, that to tag along with that, when in 08, when I was sick, they kept coming in and they kept saying for well over 3 months, it actually was, well, you don't have this. You don't have this. You don't have this. And at Banner, they kept coming and going, for 1 week straight. Okay, we tested this. You don't have this. You don't have that. Finally, you get to the point where you're like, what do I have?
Right.
Like, I don't care about what I don't
have. Quit telling me what
have.
I don't have.
Yeah.
Because that's making
like,
me almost
you know
crazy.
You when
I don't
something
have
is wrong.
Because the other answer is I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Then we have
exactly.
to be like the exorcist where it's time to explore psychological.
Absolutely.
Right. And that's the thing.
Because
is like,
you're sitting there. You're like, I can't. I mean, I couldn't move my arms to scratch my nose.
And Kelly
and
used
like,
to sometimes get on me about napping. Like, mm-hmm. she'd be like, why the fuck are you taking another nap? But I like was reading all about these blogs and Clayton's got these very eyes like why are you taking another nap?
No, I wasn't. I was thinking, she got a problem with you taking a little napper.
But it was so nice to like this one blog, this woman said, I like finally just realized I wasn't just like the laziest piece of shit on earth. Like that I just surrendered to the fact that I have to take an hour. I have to lay down in the afternoon every day and to function. And it just was like, Anyway,
yeah, no,
so that's my week.
That
so wait,
fantastic.
And what was your in 2008? I'm sorry, it kind
we,
of
we don't know.
Ramrodded. Still nothing.
Well, tell her what you think it is.
Well, aspartame.
Oh yes, that's why I remember. Yeah. You're very avid about not eating that.
Super, super big on the idea of staying away from that. But that's just for me. There are other people that can ingest
And there's no definitive proof that that's it. It's
absolutely.
Just.
Why I'm not going to prove it.
Why ingest? Right. Why ingest it if you?
Right. Absolutely. But they went through, you don't have Lyme's disease. You don't have leukemia. Thank you.
You're not pregnant.
You're not. There was that. And that was the biggest scare. there were so many different
things. So many unanswered questions.
When was the last time? Because when they found out I was from Minnesota, when was the last time you were there?
Yeah.
When was the last time as far as Lyme's disease?
Yeah.
Could this have happened? Right. Have you been up north? Just all these questions. And I'm like, oh my God, just make this feel better. Like, I want this to stop.
Right.
And it just took time. And honestly,
how long were you in the hospital?
6-7 days.
God,
6-7 days.
That's crazy.
But shout out to Molly Montgomery and Kat Carlson, because they came over and I don't know, more than likely, because Molly is just real good about jumping on things like that. I would hazard to say that it was probably her looking some stuff up of weird allergies, because aspartame will mimic or worsen, it says, like 90 things. Mm-hmm. So then you have people that are just hypochondriacs that would look at this and be like, oh, yeah, I have that. Oh, I remember that one day I couldn't see. Oh, I remember. You know, like, and there's all of this stuff where you're like, come on. But truly, as you were going,
well,
like holy
I think Alice
shit.
Said it. Hal said it before, or one of us has. Yeah. If you just go on WebMD and read through it, you automatically
have
everything.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
And I never go on any of that shit.
Oh yeah, no. The notes I took for what I might have were extensive. Sure. I mean, it was a list of like the most insane things. Right. Like one of them was like this thing where you have like abnormal hair growth all over your body and mostly face. I don't have that, but like I might
wrote it
have.
Down. Yeah.
Because
but
one of the symptoms was being
fall.
Tired, and I was just like, it could be this.
Yeah,
that's gonna happen. Hurtsu, what is him?
It's something about hairy face and moon face. I don't know. Candida.
Oh, geez, Candida.
No, that's different.
It's fungus. Yeah.
Is that that's the gut
that's
thing.
That's like a yeast infection?
Yeah, well, the yeast can be anywhere.
The yeast
can
the
be
gut.
Anywhere, absolutely.
But a friend of mine
south
had a...
South of the border.
She had a family history
down
of...
Down Mexico way.
...of rheumatoid arthritis, and she was having flare-ups all the time, and what they had to do for her... In both a clinical and a at-home setting, they eliminated literally everything from her diet. She went down to, like,
Bread and water?
Yeah.
Not even the bread. Because the bread is suspect,
that's
too.
A part of it.
They went down to nothing, and they introduced, and it had to be like one ingredient food.
Sure. Like this crazy elimination diet.
And okay. It was an elimination diet to see what she could add back without having the
flare-ups
of her rheumatoid arthritis. And it took, I can't even tell you, it was like over a year
a
of diet.
Oh, my God.
And she worked in restaurants and bars, and she couldn't eat or drink anything.
What did they find
and
they would out? Have,
it was rheumatoid arthritis, and like the list of things.
Oh, because that's what, okay.
But the flare-ups were caused by something.
It was just what was triggering these flare-ups, and they after eliminating 9 million, it was a whole year of it, or more longer.
I can't believe it'd be longer,
time. And it, like, the list of things that she just never went back to, because she found a diet she could live with that didn't cause flare-ups. So there were things where, like, well, I'm not going to try it. Like, I don't.
Why do I want to prove this?
Yeah, and it was funny.
Yeah, because when all that was going on, Molly and Kat had come over, and they said, okay, we went through everything in the fridge. We didn't have a lot of stuff that had aspartame in it. You know, anything that's like
Diet Coke,
Diet Pepsi. Now a lot of them have Splenda, but at the time, aspartame. Chock full. You look at anything, gum, anything. You go down any aisle and you're like, oh, this looks
And now they're doing that whole thing now of like sugar-free and fat-free are like the worst things for you because they substitute the sugar.
Right.
Or fake sugar when the fat was... Eat it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, and I was just quitting. So we threw everything away that we had that was like that. And then I just, because why not? Right. So I was trying to quit smoking at the time. And I was chewing Nicorette gum. And it was the Nicorette gum was it was that brand. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking as I'm trying, like, I've got to try to find out what is wrong with me, you know, and I
have another piece of gum.
Right. And so I'm sitting there. My hands were like the Incredible Hulk, like just, but I'm trying on the computer to find things. And I had a craving. So I put gum in. They had also done two spinal taps because they thought it was meningitis.
Oh, my gosh. That's
so
crazy.
Because I couldn't hardly move my jaw. I couldn't hardly move my head.
Oh, wow.
And so the chewing of the gum was very difficult because it was tender. It was tender, but it was a whole lot better than it had been. And I'm like, well, God, what? Because Molly just had me thinking. And so I Googled Nicorette gum, and the first main inactive ingredient
was aspartame.
And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, do. And I did. I just spit it out across the room. I didn't, because I couldn't, like, get it.
You couldn't move, right.
I'm like, forget it. And
give me a cigarette.
Yeah, and I did. I mean, I smoked for probably another 9 months, but I didn't care.
But you
and then
felt
I
better.
Quit later on. But yeah,
right.
And so I got rid of that, and just noticed every single thing that I picked up and stopped doing it. And now it's now I'm just on it. You know, now it just has become a habit to not have that, and I haven't had any kind of flare up any time that I wake up and I'm like, oh, my shoulder. Oh, dear God.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know, ate something.
It begins again.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, please, please, please. Because that's slowly.
Then you realize that you're in your early 40s, and that's really what that is.
Exactly.
That's what
By
I
the way,
go through.
You're real, real sweet.
No.
Damn near mid.
I go,
but okay.
Yeah,
but
I go through that every. Yeah. I get up, and I'm like, oh, that didn't feel like that a couple years ago. By the time I get from the bedroom, like, to the desk, after my, you know, my ankles have flexed a few times, and
cracked
it starts to
times.
Release, and then we're okay.
Yeah. We have to do a lot of elimination of, like, here's how old I am. That yep, that's what that is. Yep.
Well, and that's what I
hurts
thought.
The calendar. The calendar hurts.
The calendar, you son of a bitch, another day. But that's what we, as I was sitting there, I mean, it just, I thought fluey. I thought kind of not so good. And it was Memorial Day. All of a sudden, I was sitting there, and I'm like, just real achy. And then Mom went to bed, and I said, I'll go to the doctor tomorrow morning. It had been a couple days of it. And that night, I was just sitting in the recliner. She goes to bed. I, maybe 2 hours later, and the whole time I'm like, God, this is getting harder, and this really is sore, my neck and my mouth. And all of a sudden, it was time for me, like, I'm going to go to bed.
You
and
couldn't
I couldn't
get up.
Like, and I'm all the way out in the living room, like, Ma, oh, okay. Ma.
That's a long hallway.
And it really just started, and I thought, okay, now I have to go to the bathroom. Fuck. And, you know, you're going through all this, and it was really, for me, working with folks with cerebral palsy, I am never going to put myself on that level. But that was the
closest equation.
Right. Where all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking at, and my dad being paralyzed from the waist down, you know, looking down at your legs and being like, move. Nope.
You're thinking move, and it won't move.
I had an itch on my nose, and I truly was like, oh, my God. Like, I couldn't.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's it was terrifying. Like being frozen. It really was. And ended up the next morning, because I just tried to stay up all night, and I didn't want to wake mom up. I didn't, whatever. I thought, it'll go away. And I ended up, because
yeah,
of
that's
the pain.
The right course of action.
No, but
oh, just numbness and tingling
I
will
was
go
like,
away.
It'll go. It'll be fine. I'll go to the doctor in the morning, and it'll be fine. Anyway, I ended up like I had kind of landed later on, like 4:30 in the morning. I kind of landed going to the bathroom because I couldn't. My knees like gave out. There was all kinds of just weird stuff. Finally, I'm able to get my bearings, if you will, and I got into the kitchen, and I ended up
face planting.
I didn't face plant, actually. I fell backwards.
Mm. Oh, even worse.
Fainted, God. Hit my head on the counter. It made me sit upright, and so I landed on my tailbone. Mm. And when I get to an ambulance came and took me down there. And when I'm in the ER, and the doctor comes in, how are you feeling today? Fuck off.
Yeah,
not well. Better than I was because I'm awake. But it was so funny because I looked at him and I couldn't move my jaw, and I just said, "Duck, I broke my ass. I know I broke my ass." And he's like, "No, you did not break your ass." Yep, I did. I broke my ass, I'm telling you. And it took 4 hours for him to finally look at the nurse and say, just take her down there so that we can
get
her to
shut up. Oh, did you break your tailbone?
I broke my tailbone.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And I looked at him and I winked at him and I said, I told you I broke my ass. You know, come on, listen to me. I'm telling you. But yeah, so 6-7 days later, it was terrifying.
Oh, that is
terrifying.
Scary.
So sorry, I didn't mean to like go 9 hours into that. Yeah.
Scary stuff.
It is. But when you feel your body do that kind of thing, just know, I mean, and stay away from the stuff that.
Yeah,
that isn't going. If you can prove,
And it wasn't because of aspartame. I quit drinking diet soda, or actually virtually any soda at all.
I'm really
all.
Proud of you with that. That's awesome.
Just because it was just wasted. I don't need it. Mm-hmm. I just don't.
And unless
Crown
it's
Royal
with the Crown,
is lovely with water.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No, I quit drinking. No.
Oh wait, is this recent?
No. Yeah. Six,
within the last
9 months ago.
Yeah.
No, 9 months ago. I quit. Yeah. This is Crown and water. I don't drink Crown and diet anymore. Yeah.
Wait a minute. There's I could have sworn I saw like a dark substance in your Crown.
Nope.
Not in this house. Not here.
My eyes doth deceive
not
me.
Today, Satan. Not today.
Not today.
I said, no, if I can get an amen.
Now, Mr. Perkins, it's turned to you to find out what jocularity you've been up to.
Well, I'll just keep on the same story.
Vitamin D.
Well, you know, I talked to that nutritionist about a month ago, and we were going over like a food diarrhea.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, what to do about the fact
you have to cut way back on drinking a cow's full of milk.
Yeah. Right. Nothing, and again, there's nothing wrong with milk. Drink just, it if you're not lactose intolerant.
A tanker
enjoy,
truck full.
Sure.
But don't drink your body weight in it twice a week. So I've been like 5 weeks without milk, which is probably the longest I've gone since birth. Well, today, as I'm at the gym watching the World Cup, everything looked like milk to me. Everything. Like, I just wanted milk.
Wow.
It got just such a craving that I was seriously ready to hold someone at knife point. Like, I was looking for it, and like, I wanted to know if they sold milk.
A vending machine.
I don't look at vending machines because I don't drink, I've never drank soda. So I never really look at them for anything.
Right.
So I'm like, do they sell milk in vending machines? Like, I was dying.
You
and
just
then
needed
sweaty,
milk.
Nasty, and filthy, I just went to the store and bought 1 gallon. And I seriously.
Did you drink it in the car?
I drank like half of
it. Yeah, sure.
Wow.
Half a gallon of milk in one sitting.
How are you feeling now?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
But it just had to. There's a denial, and then there was like, seriously, everyone looked like a cow to me. I'm like, can I milk you?
Well, you were at the
running
gym.
Up to people, yeah. Just like sucking up. Oh, letting it go.
If it has a nipple, you can milk it.
Exactly. Wow. That's what, you know.
I went full on Robert De Niro with it.
Wow. Okay.
But as I was like, I realized like I haven't cut my nails in like 2 weeks. It's because I'm not drinking like gallons and gallons of milk. So my nails don't grow like dead people's anymore.
Gotcha.
Maybe that's what I should start doing.
Oh my God. My nails are like, I used to be able to grow out full on drag nails in 4 weeks. I would start October 1st. And by the time we did the Halloween show, I would have a full set like
real,
a real French. People are like, oh, are those fake? I'm like, nope, they're mine, bitches. Milk.
It does a body good. Right.
Well, it does your nails
good. Yes. Dirt.
In moderation.
So Clayton, that was. I mean, the rest of mine's going to come up in entertainment, but it was just funny today to get that craving, and I hadn't had it until today. And I don't know if it was watching those two guys caress, and I'm like, well, if I can't masturbate to these boys in public, I'm going home to drink milk.
Wow. Yes, many people.
Really what that says is you were at the wrong gym, because certain gyms, apparently...
You I could have got milk out of something.
So, you could have.
Or at least a heavy cream.
In a steam room.
Random something. Candor.
There's that.
I've learned to not join gyms that have steam rooms because I don't spend a lot of time in the gym.
Steaming is a little more. Well, it helps
spend
your pores.
Spend a lot of time in a steam room.
Steam.
Yeah.
It does help your pores, especially when your food's like bobbing up and down on something.
Wow. Okay.
The Orange is the New Black steam room. I had a Groupon. That was awesome.
Oh, we're going to get there.
Yeah.
That's all of our two. Go ahead.
The only thing, we upgraded some things in the network. My aunt's been visiting. I took him to lunch today.
How was that?
Fantastic. She's always been so much fun. And mentally unstable. I mean, she is. And I'm sure she'll agree with me because she actually said that she has her phone, her iPhone, and she leaves it in her desk drawer and she listens to music, you know, at work, but because nobody else, she works in a bank back in Oklahoma, and she said that sometimes when a good song comes on, she'll jump up and start dancing in the middle of the bank, and people look at her like she's crazy. I just think that's fun.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. So it was fun. I took Mom and Susie to lunch today downtown, and it was just great to see her. I love that she comes, and but she's only here for a week, and it always seems like, oh, God, a whole week, and then it's like, God, you're already leaving? So quickly, as Katie eats more. More ready.
You can have some. Anyone can eat.
The only other thing.
It does seem like it goes fast, though, doesn't it? It's a week.
Oh, so quick.
But depending, if you don't like somebody.
If it's a fun family member.
Right.
Yeah.
Because remember, she got here last Tuesday, because literally I was rushing to get here to do the show. Yeah. But no. So she flies out tomorrow at about noon to go back to Oklahoma.
Safe travels to her, because she's really going into the heart of the storm there.
Absolutely. The other only other story of any point, and I wanted to touch base with you to find out if there were any other incidences where you had inadvertently or for no fault of your own set off your alarm.
No, and you know what? It had happened a couple times few months ago where
we have a story for you.
I like that.
Where I had gotten like a block away from the house, and I got the call. And I just turned around and went back, and I'm like, no, I know nothing's happened. Like, I'm not even far away from my house, far enough away from my house for anything to happen. But this time, because I decided to just arm it from my phone and check on it in the driveway, is when I realized that what the problem that it does is sometimes it doesn't let you arm away. You have to arm it like you're staying in the house. And if you arm an alarm to stay in the house, you can't open a door.
You can't open a door because it immediately trips.
It immediately trips it. That means you have an intruder and you're about to die.
Ooh, that's good.
And that alarm gets an urgent response.
Right. From them. So here's the story. He's going to work. Was this last Wednesday?
No, it was Friday.
Friday.
The night that I get dinner first. So,
So Friday, I get a phone call from an 800 number that I don't even recognize. Right. I answer it, and I get this lady on the phone. She's telling me the story. And I'm like, how does this pertain to me? And she says, well, do you know Fred Perkins? No. Yes, I do. I know Alfred Perkins. Yes, I do. So she says, well, we're getting a signal at his house. And I look at the clock, and I'm like, well, he just would have been like leaving for work. She goes, but we try to get him on the phone, and we can't.
Because I was ordering dinner from Chico Taco.
On the phone.
And so I didn't ring in the other number because I didn't know it.
Got it.
So they're like, well, can you get a hold of him? And so I'm like, oh, I'll try. So I put her on hold, called you, didn't get you, got back to her, and immediately got in the car. I take it back. She said let it go or let the deal go. And so I then called you. Got you, and you sounded very rushed. So I go into Murder, She Wrote. So he's like, no, it's okay, I'm in the house. It's all he says, and he's like,
oh my God, and you think there's someone else in the house with him.
It's a flustered voice, it's out, and I've been down this road with this goddamn alarm before for not good reasons. So I immediately, I'm like, well, fuck this. So I threw a hat on and got in the car, and I was at his house on the phone with Phoenix PD for the non-emergency number going, here's the address, send a cruiser, I'm going there now. She's like, well, are you sure? I'm like, I'm driving.
I am. Yes, I'm sure I'm going there.
And she goes, well, what's your reason? I'm like, he didn't sound good. He didn't sound calm. So I get there, and his car's gone. There's nothing. So I call him, he didn't answer. I text him, he calls me, he goes, what's up? I'm like, well, you didn't sound like normal Al.
You didn't sound like, what's up?
I'm like, are you inside the house with a gun to your head?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, everything's fine. He explained it all. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to wait here till the cop cruisers that I called to come to your house. So they did show up. And I said, I'm sorry, I just went on Murder, She Wrote. And he goes, calm down, Jessica, calm down.
But it was because I was trying to be like a good doobie and like just, you know, I use the car phone and all the audio, so I'm paying attention to the road.
Good.
Because it is it's the end of rush hour. And
right, you're still in traffic.
And I have to make that left onto Indian School. So I'm trying to like get a hold of Chico Taco. There's a call coming in. I don't want to like stop and hit the button because I'm trying to make a left-hand turn. And then the Chico's hangs up on me because then I went over to the, then I did it. And then I'm like, just flip the bitch. It's probably your alarm. Like, and there was nobody coming the other way. So I'm like, just flip a bitch, go the other way and go back home and just check and see if it's that front door problem that was inexplicably happening.
Okay.
So I see on my phone that yes, you know, intruder entry, burglary entry. So I call the company. I'm like, please don't call the cops. It just happened. I'm on my way back. I'm sorry I couldn't answer your call. And then, like, I'm rushing, and then you call me as I'm talking to them. No, I get in the house, I turn off the alarm from there, and I'm talking to them, and then you ring in, and I'm like, okay, yes, okay, but I still need to order my dinner, because I still have to go to work for 12 hours. So then I hang up with you, and then I'm finally...
Now there is an emergency.
So now I'm calling to get my dinner, and I look, and it says, call me now from him, and I'm like, was that from earlier or from now? I'm like, well, I'll just make sure. I'm like, got my dinner ordered. So he's like, call me now. He's like, you didn't sound right. I'm like, oh, I keep having to do call waiting because everybody's calling at once, and I don't ever answer my phone, so I'm not really sure how call waiting works.
And normally, 9 people at one time.
So it just got funny. So I get my dinner, and then I go for my Friday Starbucks, and I'm talking to the Starbucks people, and then I get to work, and I realize it's like 10 after 7, and everybody on the pod is like sitting, like looking at me, and I'm like, what's up? Like, you are never late. They're like, especially on Fridays, like you have your dinner, you have your coffee, you're
routine,
usually here
routine,
at 10
routine.
Till. Like,
yeah.
You're always the charge nurse on Fridays. Like, you're just like, you're it on Fridays. We know your schedule. And like, 10 after 7 is not acceptable. And I'm like, oh, it's a whole thing about Gene. I can't even explain it. I'm like,
well, I was just happy that.
And thank you for your help and for.
Yeah,
because if something had been wrong, I would have been.
I feel like he's going to be second on my list. Well, like, maybe first. Something's happening.
Yeah, I'll call him first. Because you're napping.
Yeah. Likely.
Maybe I should. You and Roseanne Barr. Maybe or Epstein Barr.
You have Rosie Barr syndrome. Rosine. What's Rosine?
That's Rosacea.
Nobody really knows.
Okay, we have almost blown the first hour just talking about all kinds of shit, which is why we say, have you ever had friends just to sit around talking about everything and think you need to have a radio show? That is why we have this. It is coming up about 10 in front of the hour. We have a headline section that goes something like this. Headlines coming to you from Studio C. It's Marnie and me on a Tuesday night, and here we go.
Cheering anthem.
A mummified body found in a closet.
Arizona stopped trying to emulate Florida with duct tape.
Hit by a train and survived it.
Gays to be stoned.
Cesar Chavez to be removed from the ballot.
Dolphin fucking, just not that rare.
Football pass intercepted by a fence.
A pipe, paint, and a penis, oh my.
And drugs are hidden under the belly fat of a Florida man.
Oh boy.
I don't even have to hear it, and I know it's a real story.
It is. It is a real story.
I am so aware of people's panises. Pan-eye.
Pan-eye.
No, you can't.
All right. Well, in an empty, dusty house, a boy stumbled upon a classic horror movie scenario this week. A mummified corpse hanging by the neck from a belt in a closet. And officials say it had been there for 5 years until the boy made his way inside the rundown house in Dayton, Ohio this past Sunday. Neighbors actually didn't think anyone lived there at all, said spokesman Ken Betts from the Montgomery County Coroner's Office. They thought the house was abandoned, and it really does look that way. If you look online and see the house, the front door was papered over with citations from the overgrown yard, and no one came and went from the house ever, and the home
Well, the mummy wasn't going in or out.
And the home was completely unfurnished inside. However, the body of Edward Brunton, who hanged himself with a belt in a closet back in 2009, was in the house, according to the spokesman named Betts. Brunton, he was in his late 40s at the time of his suicide. Now, the closet had actually shielded his body from rapid decomposition, animals, insects, and the likes, resulting in the mummy-like condition that the boy found the body in. And because of the location where he was found, it was relatively protected from other things like sunlight, temperature, low humidity, and other things. The coroner told the CNN affiliate WDTN. Now, Brunton died before he could have much contact with his neighbors because oddly enough, he was estranged from his family and friends, but also bought the house the same year, or actually just months prior, to his death. But no one reported him gone because, again, he was estranged from everybody. The boy's mother, Michelle McGrath, went into the house to investigate. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary until she entered the room that housed the closet. Mm. And she says when she crossed the threshold in the room is when she smelled and she realized something was up. She called police. Authorities found identification documents on his body. And then his estranged brother, who was still able to recognize him, confirmed that it was
him. That's what mummified means, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. When they can still
Four
ID
years later. Yeah.
That five years hanging... Wow.
Well, maybe
if somebody
would have
told him the economy is coming back, honey. Hang on. Well, I mean, hang on
did.
From something else.
And there, was a lady probably in her late 70s, early 80s, lived across the street. She'd lived there 40 years, and she was just, they interviewed her, and she was just in shock. She'd lived across the street for 40 years, and she didn't know what was going on with that house.
40 years, first corpse?
Now, tell me where this was again.
This was in, stand by, my bad. It was in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay, so see, Michigan, Dayton, Ohio, like that whole area apparently has good air. Because remember the chick in the garage and the...
Is that where she was?
She was in Michigan.
For four or five years in her garage?
And you think the heat...
Long time.
And where were the twins?
They were in Tennessee. They were in, Tennessee.
Oh, these are all humid places.
That's humid, uh-huh. But yeah, isn't that interesting? They're just hanging out in the chair.
So he just dries out and hangs there.
Can
you imagine? I just can't imagine.
Free bacon.
Wow.
God. Well, right.
Hanging and drying. Cure it.
Jerky.
It's
my jerky.
It's like being at the gym after. So Arizona trying to be like Florida.
What? Say it didn't so,
well,
Joe.
Using duct tape.
Okay.
Because we're real, real smart. Apparently there were some offensive yearbook quotes. Did you guys hear about the offensive yearbook quotes?
No.
So in at Sabina High School, which I did not look up. Katie, June, I don't know if you're Sabina, it says. That's why I was like, I'm not sure. Aaron seemed to know where it was. Sabina High School. The faculty found themselves attempting to, they were in the news because they were attempting to cover up the students' yearbook quotes that they deemed unfit to print.
Okay.
See, here's the problem. They were already printed. Right? Oh. Everyone who spent $75 to get a yearbook had already paid that.
Sure.
It had been printed.
Right.
And then they decided to look through it and go, wait. And took 1,300 yearbooks and duct tape.
No.
And put duct tape in all of them
over the
offensive quotes.
That's stupid.
That's commitment.
That's asinine.
Gotta get a hobby.
Asinine. So the interesting piece is what it was that they found offensive.
Okay.
Miss
Smith is a bitch.
Well, that could be
if it even were that bad. You know, duct tape can be good for all sorts of things. Censorship, maybe not one of them. Maybe not.
Restraint. Sucker.
It has in here any high
True
school
love.
Kid whose curiosity could be stifled by an inch of tape probably isn't ready for the real world anyway.
Peeled right off.
They're not permanently erasing the quotes, but it really was equivalent to a scratch-off ticket.
That's very funny.
The offensive comments were so tame, though. One was a girl who had put a comment about her best friend. It said, "Every Mexican needs a white best friend." Now, that is funny. If you're a Mexican girl, then your best friend is white.
I don't understand how that's offensive ever.
How is that even kind of offensive? Right. I agree. And we're good at being offensive.
Yeah.
Unintentionally
intentionally. Yeah.
So there was that. It's no secret, they say, that race is a hot button issue in Arizona. But who would have imagined they'd have reached the point where interracial besties were verboten? Why do you think I enjoyed this so much? Verboten.
Verboten.
Yes. Another quote was attributed to Turtle Man. I'm not familiar with Turtle Man, but it read, "Come get you some." And it says a quick Google search reveals the line is a catchphrase of the star of a nature show called Call of the Wild Man.
Oh, but all I was thinking was an uncircumcised guy.
Yep. Thanks to Sabina High School. The
it's now dirty.
Jonathan Corbett, who wrote the article, says, "I'm now convinced it's what high school bros shout out after completing a sex move called the Turtle Man." But yeah, those were the kind of
turtle.
But, well, that could be a lot of things. But
no kidding.
But how interesting that they did. You find Sabina?
It's Sabino.
It is. It looks Sabino. Like there is okay. there is a couple of articles that did it wrong as Sabina. Like there's one or two that like one place did it wrong and someone else picked it up from there and did it wrong.
Okay.
But it's yeah, a Daily Mail, Arizona Daily Independent, like a couple of the other biggies.
And
it's
where is that Sabino, around here?
Tucson.
Yeah, Sabino's right, in Tucson. That's right. Aaron did tell me that. Tucson.
Got it.
And I forgot that. But yeah, how dumb.
That is crazy.
Mighty Florida. Mighty Florida.
Now, the first thing I would go through is, okay, there's a panel. When there's usually a yearbook committee.
Sure.
And they put the okay, so they put it together. Mm-hmm. You have all the quotes. Pardon me. So did somebody, and usually isn't there a administrative staff part of that?
Absolutely.
So somebody is already proofing all this because you're not going to put something.
And you're going to miss things.
Right,
you're going to miss things, but these things aren't even things to miss.
No, it's stupid.
You know, I mean,
somebody had an issue.
If they said Jan Brewer is a cunt, okay,
I can see.
Right. Maybe shout it out.
I have
shout it out. And then just covered in duct
tape. Yeah, no, I had to have that in there somewhere. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you, Miss Kitty, or whatever the hell that was. We already blown through hour one.
How on earth?
We have hour two's coming up in just moments. Al Perkins is going to give us our drinking word of the night. Who only knows what the fuck it's going to be? It'll be good, and you'll be able to drink along with us. Katie June just ran an errand somewhere. I'm not sure where she went. It's Marnie, Al, Clayton, and Katie here every Tuesday from 7 to 10 o'clock. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Hit us up in the chat room. Let us know where you are, how you found us. If you got a question or a comment, leave it there. We may or may not get to it. You can't call us because we don't have time for that shit. We'll be back in just minutes, just moments.
That'd be 6 hours if we let you talk.
Right.
And who wants that?
We'll be back in just moments on the other side with the drinking word and more headlines on Q-Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, here we go. Beginning of hour two. It is.
Everything is good on here tonight.
All of us in studio. See, we're critiquing apparently entries into the chat room. I haven't looked at the chat room. Who all's in there?
Richard, Tomo.
Meowco. Oh, Tomo's there?
Yeah, Tomo. Hi, Tomo. Hi,
everybody. He said he was interrupted. Hi, Harrison.
I knew Harrison was there.
Aaron will be in there hopefully shortly.
Very nice. So much going on. Thank you all for being there with us. We have so much to do. In fact, the first thing we're going to do right now is, as soon as I find it, oh, I hate when I do the sort wrong. There's so many things. Let's do it like this. It's called the drinking disclaimer, and it goes a little bit like this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Our drinking word today is going to be doozy.
Doozy!
That's a doozy of a word. I can do that one really well.
What made you come
up
with that one, Al?
I don't know. I said it earlier this week, and I'm like, that's why I had to go back and look at my list. I'm like, make a note of that.
Doozy.
Meow Cal, if you're listening, tell me that we can't do a bang up job on that one then, right there.
That's a doozy.
That's a doozy.
Oh, that's a doozy.
Oh, yeah. Plus, it's the Fargo season finale tonight.
That's a doozy. Oh, I know. So excited.
I know. I'm hoping my insomnia stays around for like two more hours after the show is over.
It'll be fine. It'll be absolutely
fine. So drinking word is doozy. We are continuing on with our headline section, and I have the next
rhymes
one.
Rhymes with boozy. Can't
take it wrong.
Newsy,
it's
boozy.
A doozy.
Newsy, boozy, doozy. Well, a man who was sitting on the railroad tracks in southern New Jersey.
Like you do.
Just on a Wednesday.
He escaped serious injury when he was struck by a freight train. Authorities say 25-year-old...
There's not a lot of people that can say that sentence. I escaped serious injury when I was hit by a freight train.
Authorities say that 25-year-old Andrew Davali of Washington Township was struck around 4:30 a.m. Tuesday, but the impact actually knocked him into the area between the rails, and then the train actually rolled over him without hitting him ever again. After the train came to a halt a short distance away, the conductor walked back and saw Davali crawling out from under one of the cars. He suffered lacerations on the right side of his head and complained a little bit of back and leg pain.
I do that every morning when I wake up.
But,
that's called 47.
Real age, really? You want to write that down?
I think I gave that up a couple weeks ago, too.
Davali told police he didn't know how he ended up on the tracks, but acknowledged that he had been drinking earlier.
I don't have a lawyer, but I still have this bottle of Jack Daniels.
I don't know. The train hit me. And I don't know how I got there, but you're cute.
Yeah. I like you.
I like you. You're good,
you're
man.
You're a good train driver.
Train go fast.
Conductor. Conducive.
Does your job have a real name?
Go ahead, Rye.
Well, you know,
can you drive me to Whataburger?
As we were,
does this train go to Whataburger?
Can't wait, give me a ride. Just curious.
Oh my
Remember
god!
When you used to be drunk enough to go to Whataburger?
Oh yeah,
those are the days.
Oh yeah,
that's a doozy of a place.
Whataburger
drunk used to be my favorite.
Yeah, that's good. Like, you know why? Because they got
with those little chopped up onions was good.
No, and not that late.
It's their onion rings,
the onion rings, and the chicken tenders. Forget it.
It's those fucking milkshakes.
God, I loved Whataburger.
No, they no longer have milkshakes at night because they disassemble that goddamn machine. It pisses me off.
They tell you that. I used to go in drunk and fucking Jack in the Box. One time, I took out lipstick, drew on their drive-thru window.
Fuck you.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I was pissed.
Some call that graffiti.
Yeah. Well, some also call
tagging.
That. Yeah, it was all
angry,
around
drunk,
a bad idea.
Yeah, I think it's the appropriate
driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then there's
it could also be called assault, depending on how you're...
And it's the appropriate response to finding out that a milkshake's so thick and creamy you can sit on it.
It brings
and
it all the lipstick
my body
to the yard.
Weight. Yeah.
That milkshake brings all the lipstick to the yard.
Because every time you go, it's broken. That's a sign. It's broken.
I'm sorry.
And you get definition in your cheek and jaw from sucking so hard on that fucking straw to get that goddamn creaminess up into your mouth.
Typically,
that's what he said.
It's a doozy of a blowjob.
And there you have it.
Uh-huh.
So, Oklahoma, you were mentioning that you're on.
That's okay.
She's going to be going back to Oklahoma. Well, this story not so good about Oklahoma.
Oh, what? Do tell.
Well, there's this candidate that's there. His name is Scott Esk. Have you guys heard of Scott Esk?
I think so. Is he the stoner?
He wants
Redhead.
To stone the gay people. Oh. That's right. Because of, well, for biblical reasons. Last summer...
What glass house is he living in?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm waiting... That's always the thing. Like, let's do some digging in his past.
Oh, of course.
His big deal
was he a former go-go boy in a gay bar?
He describes himself... Oh, I don't think so. As 100% pro-life and 100% traditional family values. So I'd love to find what skeleton.
Sure.
Is in his closet.
Maybe a dead mummy hanging in a closet somewhere. Yeah.
That he fucked.
Bing!
Oh, Haiti brought that.
Pull a Dahmer. Pull a Dahmer.
That's a doozy of a thing to do to a
She
a
brought
corpse.
A little narcolepsy into this.
Oh, and I have to defend myself
from
a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
When I talked about stabbing the girl in the neck and then humping her, that's actually the plot line to the following. I wasn't advocating for murder and narcolepsy.
What just happened?
I just was reminded of a correction that I had to
do. What is the line
Not
of
narcolepsy.
By the way,
what's it called? Necromancy.
Yeah.
Narcolepsy is when you just fall asleep at
Something
random.
Something I also thought I had.
No. Oh, of course. No, just
oh, no.
Side note. Necrophilia.
That was my teacher,
so. Necrophilia, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's necromancy, too, is when you fuck them.
Oh, good.
Because,
Katie, would you look that up?
Yes.
Google fucking a dead guy.
Necrophile just means you like something. Like, everyone's a pedophile because that means you like children. But a pederast is someone who is, like, is someone who's attacking children. Like, you're an audiophile.
Wait.
File means to lie. Pedophile is not the right use of that word because pedophile, everyone's a pedophile. I don't like children.
Well.
But pedophile means a like of children. We've just taken it wrong.
Necrophilia is the sexual attraction to corpses.
Necromancy is,
Which,
I think,
Google.
The actual fucking of them or taking them out to dinner.
necromancy.
You're a cheap date, and you don't talk much.
Necromancy is the practice
of fucking them.
Of talking to the spirits of dead people. No.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So you're romancing them. You're talking to them. That makes sense. Okay.
Romancing
and
the stone.
And then necro-fucking. Wait, I
don't know. What is the act of physically fucking a dead body? And I might FBI might show
danger
up.
Google. Molly, you're in danger, girl.
A necro-fuckiac. That's what I think it is. That's a doozy of a look up there.
But a file just means to like something.
So wait a minute. Time out. You're hanging out at a school, helping with the school dance. I'm a pedophile because I like kids.
Yeah, look up the
well, by the way, if anyone goes ahead and edits that down to I'm a pedophile, I'm gonna be very upset. But
yeah,
right? But I mean, come on, I don't understand.
Pederasty is the word.
What do you call someone who actually has
sexually usually erotic relationship between an adult
why
male.
In law then would it be pedophile?
Yeah, why in
it's
media?
Just a misuse of the word but, pedophile
and everybody uses it wrong.
Yes, because a file just means you like something. Like if you're there's so many just look up the that
well I'll finish my story while you people look that
yeah.
up.
Yeah,
go ahead.
What's that called? So, it's a suffix.
Yes. So, Scott Esk has decided...
back to Oklahoma.
Back to Oklahoma, folks. He wrote on his Facebook that the gay people are worthy of death and should be stoned, later claiming the violence against gays is in the Old Testament under the law that came directly from God, doesn't bore me fucking senseless, how people just take things, run with them... and when I say misinterpret, it's their own interpretation, and that's fine. But we all read different things, and no matter what it is, and we interpret our own thing. But to put it out there in a way of hate speech, because basically some dumbass could read this and think, well, this person who is, of an authority figure says we can stone those gays. So we can pull a Matthew Shepard, if you will, and it's okay. It's been said that, and it's in the Bible, there's proof.
But he loves gays. But then all his follow-up things after he said that, because now it's,
I didn't see that.
Now he's made the rounds, the apology rounds, because now it's a year later, because now he's running, and I want to say Anderson Cooper took him to task.
Okay.
And he's like, well, where's the other parts of the Bible that you're going after? Like, where's the other things? And he's like, it's a biblical society. Oh, yeah, you gotta...
Well, but the reason that I'm saying this was from June 11th, and it was Randy, for God's sake, Brandi Sokolowski put it on her Facebook. That's how I found it.
Oh.
Yeah, but
I went,
but if you look,
he might not have said it.
The quote is from a while ago. It just became common, and now
he's because he made it about Pope Francis asking, "Who am I to judge about the gay priest?" So that would fall into that timeline. I get that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So and now it's just because he's running for Congress. It's come up, and he can't back it up. He falls apart during any kind of questioning.
He's divorced, but that's okay.
Yeah,
he talks about it on his website. That's totally okay.
What God has joined, let no man put asunder. Yeah.
Well, maybe he's God also.
Let no man.
He also calls Nelson Mandela a communist thug and a lowlife.
He was one of them.
Wow,
he was one of them when Mandela either died or was that before. Because there were a couple people after he died that, what's his face, Texas?
Perry?
Not Rick Perry. Other dumbass, maybe not Texas.
Oh, Cruz.
Nope.
Ted Cruz?
God.
Stephen King? Steve King.
Mahatma Gandhi.
Damn it. It doesn't matter.
Jackal, not Jackal, t- Jackal. Not, is it Jackal? Texas. Is it
no,
a Jackal?
No. It's a doozy of a name.
Doozy.
Oh, it's a doozy, for God's
jackal.
Sake.
Jackal.
Oh.
Is it a Jackal? Jackal.
Jackal.
Is it a Jackal?
Is it a Jackal? Is it a Jackal?
Mufasa.
No, but there were still a lot of those people around. Like, you remember
Santorum. It's not Rick? Texas.
Rick Santorum. He's in Minnesota? No, he's Pennsylvania.
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 Not Texas.
But you remember that there's a lot of people that remember that oh my God, now we're all gonna do it.
I'm sorry.
J. Edgar Hoover.
It's called 47.
Yeah. Exactly. Do I have dementia? Oh my God, I saw that Alzheimer's commercial today on CNN where she leaves her keys in the refrigerator. I'm like, that's normal. That's where your keys belong, bitch.
Past 35, that's what it means.
Stop with the judgment. It's just where my keys ended up because I was putting away groceries. God damn it. But no, but there's still those people that bring up about Martin Luther King because J. Edgar Hoover had him bugged and had him followed that he's a communist. And they cling to that, not realizing that J. Edgar Hoover was a mentally unstable man that by the end of it was taking on everybody
and investigating and bugging everyone and hit all these things. Well, people found out about it without realizing that J. Edgar Hoover was, you know, I dress in women's clothing and hang around in bars. And
and that's all really good to me because I'm a little guy. Hey!
So anyway, but there are people that still, when people bring up Martin Luther King, still bring up like, oh, he was a communist and the FBI was investigating him because they were insane. Now, the file as a suffix, it means lover of or enthusiast for, specified by the initial element. Anglophile means a love of the British people, or I like that's a love of the monarchy.
Okay.
Bibliophile means a love of books,
like a crazy love of.
No, it means it just literally means of. You're an enthusiast of, and that's what I'm saying. Like the real word is pederast. That is someone who preys on children. They've just come to make pedophile. It has a dirty connotation.
I'm of the show file,
but if you take it, if you take it literally, a file just means like you can be a bibliophile. You have a love of books.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't mean you're humping the books. It's just, it's one of those little...
Well, Law and Order SVU needs to
but the law says...
Take heed.
All the law says, say, pedophile. But if you look at file used anywhere else as a suffix, it just means a love of that thing. But if you break the word down literally, everyone's a pedophile. Like, it doesn't... It's not good English.
There's another thing that doesn't make sense to me, because I always... Like, a pedometer.
Mm-hmm.
That's for walking.
Sure.
Your feet. A podiatrist. It's feet. So where the fuck do we get peta and it becomes children?
Well, pediatrics.
Oh, I wasn't thinking of that.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a doozy. Word.
Doozy. That's Christ. That's your prefix.
Thank God.
That's a doozy. Yeah,
I was told
right
there'd be no grammar.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, the thing with this guy, even whether this be a year ago, it's coming up again that he's not going to comment on his statements.
But if somebody calls you a pedophile, worry.
Thank you. Yeah. Don't
because
take
they're
it
not,
like, oh, you're
they're
right.
They're not playing grammar
like
Nazi with me.
No. Yeah.
They're accusing you of. You're doing the McMartin trial.
he answered yes to the fact that, so just to be clear, when someone had asked him, just to be clear, you think we should execute homosexuals, preferably by stoning? And he answered in the affirmative. So this guy, I mean, this is the kind of scary stuff that people in power get into. And whether it be a year ago or now,
it's
kind
just
of frightening. And
some
is,
gay is going to get stoned, and they're going to turn to him and say, this is okay if he's elected, right?
That's exactly what my thought was. And wasn't it in Oklahoma, take the gay out of it, if you will, where the young men were, I feel like it was in Oklahoma, there were three young men, they were bored, they shot the guy from Australia, the ball player that was there.
Oh,
they were just bored.
I don't know if that was Oklahoma, but that
now,
was...
I feel like it was Oklahoma and Arkansas. One way or another, not that that's gay, but people hear that like they're just bored, or they hear things like this and they just follow it. That's frightening to me.
It is. But the thing and the thing about this quote is that it's been updated, and I don't know if the update just became because he was just made aware of it last week. But he's been interviewed on this topic over the last week, and he falls apart in every single interview.
Because
his argument can't hold water. Because he's trying to stick to, I love gays, and of course I don't want anyone to die. I'm just saying that it says it's okay in the Bible. And then he does the whole Old Testament, New Testament argument.
Yourself.
Oh, you know what you know what it's from? He was on David Packman.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Because I've been looking for different things.
I gotta Google it.
I'm not seeing it, and it says, like, for his campaign website,
so he
says, I look forward to applying biblical principles to Oklahoma
and then
law.
They do that.
That's not what this is about.
Separation
that's
of church
and state.
That's not what life
is
about.
State.
This isn't how this works.
And then Ralph Reed
that's
is
not
on.
How any of this works.
I love that commercial.
It's my favorite.
It is a doozy of a commercial.
It is. Thank you. That was lovely.
Ralph Reed actually had the courage to show up on Bill Maher this week, which I thought was kudos to Ralph Reed. You're a dick, but you showed
up. Talk to
me,
Ralph Reed.
Ralph Reed, the moral majority. He's the conservative group.
Wait,
in the movie Contact, he was played by Rob Lowe because he's kind of like way too handsome, but he plays like he doesn't play. He actually is like uber conservative and a dick.
Okay.
And so he does the whole biblical lifestyle. And I think he wrote a book now that he's promoting, and he's willing to go anywhere to promote it. So they were interviewing him about like literal interpretations of the Bible, and he's like, well, that's the Old Testament, but we've all been saved by the New Testament, so the stoning part goes away because Jesus stood in front of Mary Magdalene and said, he who is without sin. So he's like, oh, so God fucked up, but and Bill Maher's so funny. He's like, God fucked up, and Jesus had to come along with the rewrite.
Oh my God, I love
so
it.
God's fallible,
with
but Jesus had to come in and be like, no, Dad, that's fucked up.
We got to fix that part.
Oh, my
part.
God. I love that.
I can't believe I didn't. Why are you not watching
Bill Maher? We have them all DVR'd because I was trying to catch up
the
on
the latest you can go is Sunday by noon.
Things.
I know. Okay. It's very hard.
Yeah. But we
that's
have
appointment
like,
television,
we have like
though.
Eight of them that I have to watch.
Eight? You can't be behind 8 weeks.
Yeah, I can.
It's top. It's live.
Yeah,
it's topical.
I get that.
It's real time.
Been real busy.
No.
Go ahead.
All right.
Make your mom watch it and give you notes.
I try.
She got to work off some of that rent.
Well, now, this part is a little bit of local Phoenix politics, but if you just humor me a little bit, as you listen through all this, you'll find the stupidity in this entire story. A judge ruled today, right here today, in Phoenix, Arizona, that Cesar Chavez, the former Republican who changed his name from Scott Fistler...
Yep,
he will be removed from the primary ballot in the 7th congressional district because hundreds of his signatures were invalid. Now, Chavez, who acted as his own attorney in the hearing, in which he veered from comical antics and tearful testimony, vowed to appeal the decision to the Arizona Supreme Court. He asked supporters to, quote, funnel money to his campaign and find
that doesn't
him.
Sound illegal.
Right, no, right. And they asked to funnel money to his campaign to help find him legal
That's
counsel.
Funny.
The ruling caps a bizarre episode in Arizona politics that has attracted international media attention when the Arizona Republic revealed the full story behind Chavez, the candidate who chose the name. And by the way, if you want to Google it, by the way, Google
Please
the name
do.
Cesar Chavez. You'll understand why this name is so big and so important in this part of the country.
It's why we didn't eat grapes in the 70s.
The Arizona Republic revealed the full story behind Chavez, the candidate who chose the name and registered as a Democrat for political gain in the heavily Hispanic left-leaning district that he was running in. By the way, he had already lost two previous elections.
His name is Fister.
As a Republican.
Yeah. Now, Alejandro Chavez, the civil rights leader's grandson, the original Cesar Chavez's grandson, alleged in the lawsuit that hundreds of the candidate's signatures were invalid and his legal name change was intended to defraud voters. Duh. But by the end of the hearing, Jim Barton, the plaintiff's attorney, asked the judge to drop the charge that Chavez changed his name as, quote, as part of a coherent scheme. Now, Judge John Ray also rejected the lawsuit's allegation that Chavez used the wrong size of paper to collect signatures and failed to register as a Democrat before collecting them. However, Ray did rule that 711 of Chavez's 1,455 signatures, or about half, were
I was told there'd be no math.
Were invalid. Now,
it's a doozy of a number.
This is a long audio clip. This is about a little over 50 seconds. But I want you to hear...
Oh, because this guy's a fucking nut job.
This idiot...
He's my favorite nut job, though. With
reporters addressing the fact that he changed his name. I just want you to listen to this
it's
audio clip.
I'm glad you have it.
And bear with me. You'll enjoy it.
I decided to change my name because I love sports, people. And I like Julio Cesar Chavez. I like Eric Cesar Chavez, the baseball player here in Arizona Diamondbacks. And I was looking at a lot of the names, and I wanted something that had similarities for that. So I had one common denominator amongst a lot of people that I was looking at within my community and people that had impacts. And the name that came up was just Cesar Chavez.
So this had nothing to do with you knowing how popular Cesar Chavez is in the Latino community. Is that right?
You want to know what? No, it has nothing to do with him, because you know what? He's been dead for like 20 years, people, and I'm not dead. And furthermore, it's like I also took into consideration of my dog's favorite dog food, which is Cesar brand dog food, people.
So this really amounts to sports and dog food?
Yes. You know what? Yes. You know what? I wanted a name that is easy to pronounce, that's short, and the name fit the bill.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Sorry,
crazy.
You can't argue with that logic. It's sports and dog food. If you're going to pick a name, you got Aaron's vote right away because you got dog food. You got Buddy. You got sports. Fuck, you're a winner. Ding, ding, ding.
And people.
Are you kidding me?
People, this is about dog food, people.
It's about dog food.
It's about dog food.
It's
people.
A doozy of a name. You got to hear it. Cesar Chavez.
I think when people say things like, Oz looked at it.
Yes!
Don't vote for him for Congress.
Kind
people.
Of automatically people? Think. No.
When a reporter says to you, so this is about sports and dog food, you're a congressional candidate. Yes, it is.
And emphatically.
Emphatically.
Well, yes, it is.
Well, no, but if you just I'm happy to report that if you just moved a couple states north and east,
move,
you'd be like, oh, elect him. He's well, he don't believe in book learning,
but he loves dog food.
He picks his name up, dog. He's a real American. He's from the real America. That's a real America.
He's a dog lover. People, vote for him.
He's not from one of those left or right coasts where they're all crazy. He just gets his information from sports and dog food.
ESPN.
Sarah Palin's gonna suck. He's gonna give a doozy of a blowjob because he's a real fucking American.
Before we go into
I took an immigrant name just to prove I'm for those brown people.
Michael's going to run to Lux. Does anybody need anything from Lux?
I'm no, good. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Maybe a brown person. Play soccer. Oh. Skinny.
Cesar Chavez. That is true America, people. No book learning.
No book learning.
I mean, yes, about four things, but I don't know. It'd be too hard to get the order.
That's right. That's right. I just texted him, bring me a mocha, and I want brownies and cookies.
If they have anything, I'll eat some brownies. I'll eat brownie and cookie.
Anything.
You'll have a cookie?
Well, I mean, I'll eat some shit.
I mean, if a brownie walked past me
and jumped in my mouth,
I might have to stop and frisk it. There, well, and maybe lick it a little bit.
There might be milk in it somewhere. We're not sure. Good Lord.
Oh God! So please, anyway, thank you. So for that.
That is another reason. That
he is my favorite crazy person of 2014 so far.
No matter where you are, if somebody is running for any office and you don't really know, research them. Find out how much of a fucktard they are, because this guy totally was going to change. The reason this is a hullabaloo in Phoenix is there was a
hullabaloo, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a doozy of a hullabaloo.
It's not even a drinking word.
Years ago, there was a labor leader named Cesar Chavez who stood up for the people in the area, and he was a huge, huge inspiration to so many people. And we have a day here in Arizona that it's like a holiday for him. So this dumbass, knowing
it's not really for him anymore.
Well, no, you're right. It's not for him anymore.
He doesn't work.
No, well, he's been dead. Well, apparently he's been dead 20-something years, people.
He's been dead. Like, I'm not dead.
Yeah, I'm not dead. But anyway, this idiot thought he was going to swoop up a lot of good votes by changing his name and registering Democrat. And
it's a little smart. But honestly,
no, I get that. But he's just a fucktard.
No, he is. Oh.
But maybe don't talk in public.
But I want to...
That's
again, another thing that a lot of congressmen could learn from. Well, don't talk out loud.
Don't cry out loud.
Oh, I love
Melissa Manchester.
I'm lost.
I love a song that advocates suicide next week. Don't talk about it right now. Just kill yourself.
Keep it inside.
Andor is in Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Learn how to hide your feelings.
Yeah. Keep it inside.
When the circus
where feelings belong.
There was sawdust.
Right. There's so much. That's one of those songs that when you listen back to it, you're like, there is so much psychologically wrong with this particular song. I'm going to need a therapist to listen to it with me and hold my hand and counsel me as to what advice to listen to.
What does that line mean?
Why did I like it so much?
But I have to tell you that anybody that knocks on my door, and if you read the Saturday.
Oh, I did.
I did.
My tribute to Flag Day.
No.
Where I got out a screwdriver and learned how to disable my
doorbell
in about 2.2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And the poor fucker that came to my door the last time to get signed onto a ballot for the Board of Education or whatever school superintendent. Cares. I'm like, do you believe in evolution? Fuck you. Do you believe in evolution? The guy's like, I you don't have to vote for me. No, you rang my fucking doorbell. I work nights. It is now 12:30 at night in my world, and you rang my doorbell. Do you believe in evolution? Because I'm going to throw something at you if you don't. And the guy's like, you don't have to vote for me. And I'm sorry, you should put a sign up. I'm like, I'm writing it right now. I was screaming at this guy and yelling, fuck you, as he walked down the door. I'm like, and if you run into another person looking for fucking signatures today, you tell them, crazy person in this fucking house that's going to throw something at you. And the guy's like, are there that many? I'm like, everybody's out today. When's the deadline? And he was running too fast the other direction for me to hear a clear response.
Call a pastor. Call a pastor.
I was seriously in my underwear and a dirty t-shirt.
I love it.
Screaming like a crazy person.
So normally dressed for home.
Exactly. Yeah. The Afghan was right behind me on the ground.
It was a Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Day bear.
Yeah, hello.
Evening bear.
Hello.
I seriously went a little bit carry on him.
Oh.
So I don't, you know, I don't work nights. I also have those hours, but I don't work nights. But that irritates the fuck. Stop knocking on my door.
And so now
just
I have
stop
a,
it.
Now I have
and
the piece of paper that goes up every morning at 7 a.m. that says, do not knock or ring that doorbell for any fucking reason.
Unless you see flames coming from the house.
Nope. I'll die happily.
if I am warm.
I have insomnia. If I am sleeping soundly enough, then the fire gets me. Don't wake me up. I don't want to know that I died.
I agree.
You just know, oh, he was. If I died in my sleep, how happy I'd be?
He died.
He was
happy.
Sleeping.
He actually got rest.
And that would be the thing. Exactly. Finally.
My do not disturb note was written after Palmer came home, and then the our mail lady, who you all know that I hate, rang on the doorbell, and it was such an angry, it was like a big message that was, do not ring! Underline, exclamation, all caps. Like,
you
I
know,
was yelling.
I think that what I'm going to put on my door, because where I became a fucking crazy person about that was Gallego, Kate Gallego.
Oh.
If there had been another fucking knock, I voted for her. That's not my point. Stop knocking on my fucking door, because I already said I was going to vote for
the
you.
The first two I would have voted for.
Exactly. And so now that's going to be my note. Go ahead, knock on my fucking door. I swear to Jesus, I'm not going to vote for you.
Yeah.
Done. Like,
you know how you'll lose this vote?
You're going to lose my vote.
I vote in every election, no matter how stupid I show up.
Absolutely.
The one day, okay, this is my favorite, though. And this day, I might have been a little high.
Medical marijuana is fine.
She smokes, ladies and gentlemen.
I was really looking forward to a lovely, lovely nap.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I had taken the medicine for napping, the prescribed medicine for napping. Mm-hmm. And somebody knocks on my door to tell me where the new sexual predator in my neighborhood was.
Oh, I remember you talking about
that. You know where they were? They were a homeless person that seemed to camp sometimes near the canal. Okay. I'm like, unless that fucker's into bald, fat men, get the fuck away from here. If he's into that, he rings the doorbell next time, and we have a little bit of fun.
And I might say yes, and I might say no.
It's going to be a doozy of a blowjob. Yeah.
He might not be homeless anymore.
He might have a home. Right.
There's going to be new reason for water damage in my house. If you got yourself,
and he has an address now.
You got a sexual predator that's into all this.
Take it off the list.
I'm going to tie myself to the titanium guy's train tracks and lay there like Penelope till he either rescues me or fucks me. Yeah, that conversation went really well that day. Really well. And if they decided to bill me for their therapy, I couldn't blame them. You know what I mean? I'd probably just sign the check and be like, yeah, I'm probably responsible for the first two sessions.
It's one of my new favorite things I've ever heard. That's all.
Any of my stories.
And that was another one that was just running the other way. Never got a clear answer out of the body that was running the other direction, like my house is on fire.
If all the stories I have about people coming to the door pale in comparison, I got nothing.
I'm good for the first two doorbell
rings.
No,
I'm not nothing. No.
Oh, but doorbell ring number three, and that it was such a long night of work, and I was so exhausted, and I was falling asleep. So it would be like 45 minutes of like, oh, beautiful, blissful, ding dong, who the fuck installed that doorbell? And you should have saw me get that screwdriver out. I was like a maniac.
Man on a mission.
And I ripped that. If there was another step.
I think
step,
it's funny you use that to actually unscrew something. I would have been like hitting the doorbell. Like,
first,
I think
part one was just rip the fucking cover off. I didn't care how it was attached. Yeah. We were not. But I knew that something inside of that worked that.
Right.
And I just ripped it off there like the Hulk. And I'm like, and it was like three screwdrivers later. But I was like, because I don't want to pull on that, because I don't want to get electrocuted to be dead in here and have them find my mummified body 4 weeks later when someone's like, I haven't heard from them. Does anybody miss her? No.
Hang in there.
Just so you know, a doorbell is only 12 volts. It's nothing.
Now you tell me.
Well, I didn't know you were in such desperate need of knowledge.
And that would have been a nice little twoo.
Oh, yeah.
Pick me up.
Put your tongue on that.
He might do it a bit awake. Yeah, no need for
it. Of a surprise.
Let's go. Go, Martin.
Well, I just wanted to give an update here about dolphin sex.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay, we are so on the cutting edge of all these stories. I have watched that woman masturbate that dolphin on every TV show that I watch.
Well, because everything's going crazy about it.
There is not. She has husbandried that fucking dolphin so many times this week.
Poor Margaret Howlovat, if that's how we say it.
I I hope so.
I don't know. Margaret Ho, love it.
Love it.
Anyway, she was attacked for admitting that she stimulated the dolphin. I mean, for real, by the way.
I want a woman with the slow hay. But with an easy touch.
That's June.
All about June.
Anita, meet June. It's a whole June thing.
Oh, goddamn. Anyway, it's safe to say that Margaret will, from here on out, be known as the woman who had sex with a dolphin.
Dolphin jerker.
Dolphin jerker.
That is just, it gives me the chills. So for those that sends a shiver.
You know, then you were very troubled last week.
But it still is troubling.
She's troubled?
I'm just telling you.
The woman that masturbated the dolphin's troubled.
She was troubled by it.
Oh, yes.
She's a dolphin fan. File.
If we knew the Latin for dolphin, we could make that a word.
File.
Dolphinus.
She's a dolphin rest.
Well, I'm arrest. Saying. I think last week I called her a dolphophile.
I think you did.
Yeah. So this NASA-funded experiment, if you don't remember, in the 60s, she said that Margaret would rub himself on my knee, my foot, and my hand, and I allowed that. I wasn't uncomfortable as long as it wasn't too rough.
With your headphones off, you can still hear her.
I realize that.
Eventually, it just became routine. You know, of course it did.
Yeah.
She felt the best way of focusing his mind back on the lessons was to relieve his desires herself manually. She makes sure to clarify it was sexual on his part, not sexual on mine, just sensual, perhaps. Anyway.
Mayhaps.
So then the headlines came out. It made every TV show. It did. Woman reveals sex with dolphin. The woman who lived in sin with the dolphin. The dolphin who loved me. This woman jerked off a dolphin and loved it. Scientists say relationship with dolphin was sensual. Woman waxes poetic about giving precious sexual hand jobs to a dolphin.
Nice. Bravo.
I had a sexual relationship
with the dolphin. Point to the waxer.
Wax off.
Yeah. Dolphins.
Dolphin. Parenthetically. Dolphins.
Anyway, so obviously
the dolphin song.
All of it's bad. Yeah. All of it's bad.
And they think SeaWorld should close.
Let the rivers run. Anyway, so judging from the collective
horrified... Why do you got to bring Carly Simon into it? What'd she ever do to you?
I don't know. Made me feel good about it. Judging from the collected horrified response, you would think that a human giving a handy...
I'm glad we went around collecting horrified responses.
Oh, that's a good...
If they would have rang my doorbell, do you have a horrified response to the dolphin jerker? I do.
And here it is. Anyway.
Don't jerk off my dolphin and tell me it's consensual.
You gotta keep in mind, a woman giving a handy to an animal was an unthinkable act.
Dolphin a day.
But it isn't unheard of, because mainly...
No, I heard it.
I've heard it like 15 times in this ear.
No. Oh, dear God.
Sexual climax in female macaca mulata.
Jesus.
It means no worries for the rest of your days. It kinda. Really does.
Exactly. Kinda. Now that I'm up, that's exactly what I wanted to say. Anyway, that was in 1970. Francis Burton had said that. So this stuff
Dolphin's
just,
been looking for her for 40
yeah,
years.
Yeah, 44 years I've been searching for somebody else
for
a hand job.
Where have you been?
It's a long time between getting off in a pool. Time.
Where do you go?
And apparently
my lovely... Where do you go?
Do you know?
Where are you going to?
Oh, so many women are going down with this dolphin.
Or down on it. Get down on it. Anyway, dating back to the 80s, there was research on beagles. I don't want to talk about those because Aaron will be upset. He masturbated the dogs and observed their responses. That's a further struggle.
Happy beagles is my guess.
That's what I'm saying. No wonder they howl. Anyway, there was this whole awful story about a student that was trying to find out about rats. And it's clitoris. That's all I'm going to say. And so all of this has happened. So this dolphin bit, not so big of a deal. We have to have manual stimulation, they say, in order to get semen samples.
That's animal husbandry. That literally is when someone says I went to school for animal husbandry.
Why would you go to that school for that?
Seriously, I got a degree in shoving my hand
because they have to know how to breed
the
animals, and sometimes they can't, so they do have to artificially inseminate. And animal husbandry
means...
Yeah,
I can be on board with artificial insemination. I got that.
Yeah. It means you, someone jacked off the horse to make another horse.
That's right.
Oh, goodness.
And it's usually to protect...
It's called the middleman.
It's usually...
It's like, what it says usually it's like the Noah's Ark of human-animal hand jobs.
Oh, if I'm not mistaken, it's how... If they can't get a racehorse to breed, that's when they bring in the animal husbandrist.
Exactly.
That's when they have to, like...
Her name is Margaret Lowell.
To get the juice. Bad.
I'm so glad I didn't study that.
There you have it. Well, yeah. Can you imagine, Katie?
I have to Google that because I may have just made that up. And
you
the people
may
that,
have.
People that take animal husbandry are like, absolutely
That's
not.
That's not true.
That's a lie.
If you're a listener and you do animal husbandry, comment.
Apparently. It is
I can't believe you stuck around long after all the things, all the shit I've been talking about your career. I'm too drunk to spell animal.
Well, I wanted to make sure that we did an update because poor Margaret Lovatt, has been demonized for her
handiwork.
Correct.
Fair point, Clayton.
Thank you.
It's a doozy of a point.
There we go.
In. So anyway, fantastic, Margaret Lowell.
Selective breeding and raising livestock to promote desirable traits in animals for utility, sport, pleasure, research. But
it's
also refers to the efficient exploitation of species in agriculture advantageous to humans. History of breeding, and I'm just not going to read that because at some point somebody's going to jack off a horse.
No, because we said so.
Yeah.
Dolphinidae.
I'm assuming that means a love of the dolphin, but well, I'm...
I don't know if that's true.
Google that.
Okay, please. Somebody spell it.
D-E-L-P-H.
Wait, D-E?
D-O.
D-E-L.
Oh, D?
P-H-I-N-I-D-A-E.
I'm not a machine. D-E-L-P-H.
God, she's a bitch, though.
I-N-I-D-A-E. And it could be
E-I-E-I-O.
It perhaps should be an O, but I'm just reading it as Tomo has it.
Tomo has put it. Maybe that's the... Is that the Auckland, New Zealand spelling?
We were asking for what the Latin name for dolphin would be, so that you could get yourself to a It would be a delphinophile. It would be a delphinophile.
Sounds like a music group.
Well,
ladies and gentlemen, delphinophile. Yes.
Next up,
didn't she used to live in this room?
No, that's Phaedra.
Oh,
very different.
Well, done, I'm a Davina Ross.
Thank you.
never was in this house.
I know.
Well, let's. We're going to change gears totally on this. Oh, we have a special.
I feel a brownie coming on, and I'm not talking about the delivery. No. He called you Mocha.
No, that's not Mocha.
Oh my bad.
Michael has brought cookies, and shit.
Oh, we're gonna have to work this out for Michael.
That's what it looks like. It's got caramel stuff on it.
Oh, it does. Oh my god!
I believe the word salted caramel was used earlier.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Thanks, honey. We'll take care of you.
Bye.
We know a little bit about husbandry.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking, if the FBI did raid my Google tonight, I would think I'd be arrested because I'm looking at like animal husbandry. Do animal husbandry majors have to jack off animals? Sport porn. I've got necrophilia up in here. There is some really wrong
We're
things.
We're all going to jail.
Actually, what's worse than that is if your wife finds your search engine and figures out.
The good news is at least we can go back to the show and prove.
Right. And be like, no, baby, this is right.
Wherever you're listening to us from.
Use your words.
Wherever you're listening. I don't know how that goes. Wherever you are and you're listening to us, get here and eat this. Because
get here if you can.
Oh, what do I want? Cookies, and brownies.
This salted caramel brownie, this shit for real.
All right, let me continue on with this. Otherwise, we're never.
As Cesar Chavez would have said,
the show will be 6 hours.
This shit for real. Not the real Cesar Chavez.
A convent of nuns in suburban Chicago has filed a lawsuit against a neighbor, a strip club, that they say plays throbbing music while the nuns are trying to pray.
Do the nuns use the word throbbing?
I didn't write this. The Sisters of St. Charles named Club Allure Chicago and the Village of Stone Park in their lawsuit filed Friday in Cook County Circuit Court. They claim the club violates Illinois zoning laws, which require a 1,000-foot buffer zone between adult entertainment facilities.
That's the wall of China.
And places, right, thank you, and places of worship. Now, the sisters' property, which includes three chapels, is located in Melrose Park, and the strip club opened in the neighboring village of Stone Park in September. Now, based on what I looked at in the online on the pictures, it's like the line that divides these two areas of town are the backyard of the nun. So it's like the property lines butt up, it appears. Now,
The sisters have seen, quote, public violence, drunkenness, and litter, including empty liquor bottles, beer bottles, discarded contraceptive packages, and products, as well as used condoms, according to the lawsuit, which also mentions the pulsating and rhythmic staccato beat noise and flashing neon or strobe lights that disturb the nuns. Quote, our sister's sacred space has been invaded, which is my favorite.
Filthy.
That's my favorite quote.
They've been invaded by throbbing, pulsating. What was your first adjective?
Well, oh, there's pulsating and rhythmic staccato beat noise and flashing neon.
In their private place.
Our sister's sacred space has been invaded, Sister Nomia Silva told the Chicago Sun-Times.
I liked it at first, but now I'm offended. Mm-hmm.
At night, now they hear music when they are praying, and that is uncalled for.
That's a metaphor. I hear music when I pray, too.
The nuns have
a
right,
little bit of lotion and the right music.
The nuns have a right to pray and work peacefully without interference, says attorney Peter Breen of the Thomas More Society, a Chicago-based public interest law firm representing the convent. Now, Stone Park Village attorney Dean Crone said that the village has acted legally and reasonably. Club representatives said they aren't a nuisance to the nuns, and the lawsuit's claims aren't backed up by any actual police reports or problems. While the Bible says, quote, you shall love your neighbor and as yourself, the manager of the club says, the nuns aren't being very neighborly. Mm. Well, of course not. Their private space
is
going to
turn into sister act in about 5 minutes.
Their private spaces.
Yeah. Now, according to this, he says that
our
dancers aren't monsters. They're daughters, they're mothers. Wait, it gets better. It gets better. They said the club dancers are not monsters. They're daughters, they're mothers, and some of them are even Catholic. The village of Melrose Park and three of its residents not joined practicing. The nuns in the lawsuit.
They're not practicing.
Hey, Joe. Okay, there's so much wrong with every sentence you just said.
My favorite is that the nuns had been invaded or in their private space.
In their sacred space.
Their sacred space.
Where the throbbing and
throbbing, pulsating.
What's the first sentence? The first adjective was my favorite.
Well, wait.
So good.
At the beginning?
Yeah, at the very beginning.
Hang on, let me go back here. Yeah, the first line is, a convent of nuns in suburban Chicago has filed a lawsuit against a neighbor. A strip club, they say, plays throbbing music.
There it is, throbbing. Throbbing.
While the nuns try to pray.
I love a throbbing nun. You know what I mean? Can I get an amen in here?
I need you to take, you know take I mean? That. Take it back. Take it back. Take you do throbbing, not like a
take
throbbing
your
nun.
Throbbing, pulsating, rhythmic staccato. Do throbbing again. Staccato. Throbbing, throbbing, staccato.
That's a doozy of words. Yes. Put it in my sacred place, baby.
Go.
You know, you want to tell people where the story is from that you're telling. And, well, I just damn near can't. It's a Kwanzaa Ho.
Jesus Christ.
What?
I may be saying it wrong.
Survey says, yes, you are.
Kwanzaa Ho?
Kwanzaa Ho.
Would you like a brownie
City
off my
in Fujian Province,
is this
China.
European? Oh, China.
I'm trying.
Oh, did you see the Koreans try to play soccer today?
I'm not sure, but are you possessed by something?
Kwanzaa Ho.
Oh.
So anyway, Leon Tien. Leon Tien is...
Would you pull that flap? Pull that flap out.
Well, I'm in my sacred space.
Anyway,
I'm going to stroke my space.
This gentleman who happens to be in China is 61. He's painting. He's nude, as you are.
Like you do.
It was a really warm day.
Yeah.
Really warm day. But he's super afraid nobody's going to believe him. Because apparently all the heat and the paint and the sweat made for a terrible combination because he slipped on the floor, causing his private parts to fall inside the pipe that was protruding from the wall to take water outside from the air conditioning unit. Unfortunately, it got stuck.
Oh, so he fucked a pipe.
No, he did not. That's what he's afraid everyone's going to believe.
Oh.
I'm concerned about how big this pipe is.
Me too.
I'm concerned about how small this room is. So,
it smells like semen in here. Anybody else get that?
Cold semen.
How do you say that in Chinese? Don't answer. It's better that I don't know that you know that.
Cold semen.
Oh, sure. Cold okay. semen.
Anyway. Apparently, it was my guess. I don't know.
Oh my God. Some young guy.
Oh yeah, oh, Hung Solo. Some young guy.
Intentionally racist at this point, folks.
Okay. How we fucked.
Going down. And, you know, it may have been better. It may have been better if this guy.
I got drunk. Whoops. Somewhere in the doozy part.
You slipped and you fell in the pipe.
Will my dick fit? That's what I asked the pipe.
Well. You whittled it?
No, Wilma.
Oh, Wilma Dick Fit.
Got it. Wanted to make sure.
Great drag name.
It is a great drag name. Wilma Dick Fit.
It may have been better had he kept the air conditioner hooked up. You know.
But it was so a dry pipe?
Well, because he wouldn't have been so hot and needed to paint naked is really what it comes down to. And
it's a story
well,
in two parts.
How many times are those open pipes just looking to snag a passing genital? So, as you're looking at this, he's a handyman of sorts.
No, he's a pipe man.
He attempted to fix the problem himself.
How?
He removed the pipe from the wall.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how this whole thing started. We don't know because we weren't there. I don't know that he slipped and fell into the pipe. Maybe the pipe was already removed from the walls, where my thoughts are
what
going.
Was the pipe wearing?
The
let's was ask it the dressed? Was the,
I it, did was the pipe, not have sexual relations now wait, with that pap.
Was that pipe dressed suggestively?
Exactly.
It was a whore of a pap.
It was a ribbed
and
pipe.
So he tried to pour oil and liquid soap down the sides. Hello. But his manhood was so tightly wedged in there, nothing dripped down, apparently.
Oh, that's so wrong.
Now, I appreciate this, and I thought maybe it could be a word in the future. In English, this is what they call a humble brag.
We can make that
brag. I think we could. Anyway, so the big deal is he thought it best to sleep on it.
Yeah.
The pipe?
Well, maybe not sleep on it.
In it.
But... Well, with it on.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he thought maybe, you know, it would shrink and everything would be fine, but nope, it was red, inflamed, and he was worried about an infection. So he gets to the hospital.
Look at this red pupped up son bitch.
Yeah, well, he didn't want to go to the hospital because he didn't think anybody would believe him.
How are you going
to
get to the hospital with your dick stuck in a pipe?
Well, apparently he did.
Problem number one, you got to bring the building with you.
No, he already removed it.
He already removed the pipe.
Oh.
Remember,
after he slipped and fell into the pipe, he cut it off.
Because he was really hot.
Oh, this story's got too many parts now.
Well, he had one part that was in a pipe. Anyway, so they couldn't do anything. They had to call the damn fire department. Even the hospital was like, we got nothing. So they had to call the fire department.
Jaws of life.
Well, to a degree, yes. They cut it off in only 4 hours for those unexpected phallic emergencies. Anyway... Apparently, this happens often. These odd things. You know, not like he had the pipe and he was just fucking it. Because we don't want anyone to believe that. Because that's where he was freaking out.
Well, yeah, it's just not what happened.
It's not what happened. It's not what happened. I was painting in the nude.
Not
I slipped
what happened.
And fell into the pipe. That's what happened. God, how do you not believe that? Apparently, in... 2008, a British clergyman was hanging curtains when he fell backwards onto a potato. I mean, these things happen.
Oh, up the butt, Bob. That's a serious emergency room scenario.
I need to rewatch that clip.
And he had to have it removed from his anus. And so there are things that happen.
Scalloped or Julianne? How do you do it?
I don't know.
Scalloped. No, there are...
I would...
His vagina's got teeth. No, there are so many things they found up your vagina emergency room stories that even if only a hundredth of them are true, it's too many.
Too many.
Right.
Just too many. But yeah, so there is... I think it's fantastic. There is a whole other thing about what people have done. But God bless him for coming up with the story that is the truth.
As I see it.
As I see it, as I declare, and the other gentleman, it was all gratin.
Thank you for updating us.
And no problem. Thanks. I'm right here for you. Up the butt, Bob.
Up the butt,
up the
Bob.
Butt, Bob. Craziest place you ever made whoopee.
Up the butt, Bob.
All right, let's see. We got to get through this because otherwise Al's not going to have any time to talk. Jackson, Michigan authorities say a man tried to throw a football loaded with drugs and cell phones into the yard of a state prison, but he was intercepted by a fence. According to state police trooper Toby Baker, Sunday's throw in Jackson came up a little short, with the football landing between two fences
and not in the yard where the prisoners exercise and where the prisoners wanted the ball to land. An officer at the G. Robert Cotton Correctional Facility saw the man throw the football, and he was then taken into custody. The Detroit Free Press reports the ball contained heroin, marijuana, tobacco, three cell phones, and chargers.
Oh, right near red.
Baker says the man is facing now possession of illegal drugs with the intent to deliver, smuggling, and trespassing on property.
Well, now he gets
property.
To be on the other side of the fence to catch the next football.
Well, next one. There you go. Right.
Maybe he's more of a catcher than a pitcher.
Wait, it was someone outside the prison threw it?
Right. He went onto prison grounds to throw a football into the prison yard so his buddies could have the ball.
Well, now they're going to be real buddies.
Mm. Different kinds of buddies. Up the butt, Bob.
That happens
up,
a lot. Yeah.
Butt's the new pussy, Bob.
And all things are.
That's a doozy.
And orange is the new black. Look at that transition.
Wow.
That's what we're getting
That's
to.
That's a doozy. But that happens a lot, Clayton.
Up the butt?
No.
Bob.
With Marty.
No, Bob.
No. That whole, and I'm not speaking from experience. Fuck all of you. What I'm saying is, maybe people stand outside of cities with tents, and they take things.
I've heard that this is true.
And I witnessed it. I been there, I'm sure I would have witnessed it.
Where the Finstitutes are?
Where the Finstitutes are.
I love the Finstitutes.
It's true. It is so true, I believe, from what I've heard. But people will stand out there. Okay, fine. And they have, like, well, back to the duct tape, which started the whole thing, with the Arizona yearbook. But they take, like, duct tape, and they have cigarettes in there, and they have pot, they have lighters, they have...
Everything you need to camp.
Shoe.
That and pink underwear
anything.
And a tent.
Right. And it's in the form of a ball. And people stand out there and just chuck it over. And how it doesn't get caught does not compute with me.
Because no one's got that kind of time. You can't catch everything. Like, so, I mean, eventually you got to let something pass.
Right.
Yeah, but
you want happy campers in tent city? Yeah. Going to get yourself a little bit of marijuana.
Oh, no. I'm...
But tampons, cigarettes,
but I would
heroin.
Also, I would also say that part of the infotainment that Arpaio is, right. He wants them because then... In you know, in a month when they've all gotten comfortable with their stash that they've
right.
got, he can raid them and he can find all the contraband.
Yeah, and then his guards
then he
can
looks
all
like
get
a genius,
up.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. And then he can keep people in there for longer.
Right.
It's exactly
oh,
right.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Right.
Sure.
You got one more? No.
Nope.
Got it. Me. I'm gonna do the last story. Central Florida man.
Yes, sir.
Who weighs in at a whopping 450 pounds.
450.
That is nothing.
He faces multiple charges.
His name is Tiny.
He faces multiple charges after sheriff's deputies say he hid cocaine and 23 grams of pot under his, quote, stomach fat.
It's called his panis.
We're going to call it a fold.
It's called a panis. The literal word is panis.
Right, look, quit being literal.
No.
This isn't educational.
I clean people's panises all the time.
Oh, my God.
I can never be a nurse. Yeah. If that's a thing you have to do, I'm out.
Oh, and the smell and the fungus?
I'm out. A tap out.
The yeast in there?
That would be...
That's a small amount of pot. The panaces I've seen, you can get yourselves
what
a small
you
child, a wingback chair, a steno pad.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Midler.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, according to a news release, I'm going to try to pronounce this county correct. It's Volusia County Sheriff's Deputy stopped a vehicle Friday after noticing that one of the passengers wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Well, when they stopped him, officials say that 42-year-old Christopher Mitchell told the deputy, well... To be honest, I'm too big to wear the seatbelt. It won't fit. The deputy said he then requested drug-detecting dogs because Mitchell and the driver of the car appeared nervous. Can't imagine why. The dog detected the presence of drugs in the vehicle, and in addition to the drugs on Mr. Mitchell, or however you want to say, they were folded into him, a deputy said they also found a handgun, $7,000 in cash. In the vehicle. In the vehicle.
Oh, this was all under his hoopa? Panis?
And I got to do is pull up a male... The male... The man tit.
Oh, God.
He got three children. And he got
suckle. So, everything about this show suckle. Is grossing me out.
So, Mitchell and the driver were arrested, and as a press time, it was not clear whether Mitchell or the driver had an attorney.
I got a Google panic.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of our headline section.
Love it.
Oh, that was entertaining. That was the wrong outro.
Cut the intro and let's just do it. All right. So, we're just going to go. I take my own movie suggestions and found out that I'm a good person to take advice from. Orange is the New Black, for those of you with no life, you finished it. Andrew Reynolds is taking over for Hedwig. There's a great documentary coming up on HBO. Turns out I'm a big fan of Kurt Russell's son.
Oh.
I have a couple questions.
Just general questions.
And John Oliver, fucking genius.
Oh. In entertainment!
Entertainment! All right, so I'll leave the last one because we're going to probably go on and on about it. Okay, so I made a couple of movie suggestions in the last couple of weeks, and I finally had time to go to all these movies. So we'll rate them in, like, best to worst, I guess. I saw Fault in Our Stars. If you want you know, a love story, if you want an unbelievably handsome young man who's probably going to be a big, giant star, and then Shailene Woodley, who we all know is going to be a big, gigantic star from The Spectacular Now. Last year, she was from The Descendants, Divergent. It's a cancer movie. It's not as good as the book. I was expecting them to take on more of the tone of the book, of the, this is not your typical story about death and dying. And they did take it down the tearjerker route. Okay. They did go down the typical romantic tearjerker things. They kept some of it from the book, but they really lost a little bit of her edge as to just how, like, not like how cut and dry she is about her disease. Beautiful, it really well done, beautiful movie. I mean, there were times where you couldn't actually hear the dialogue over the people openly sobbing behind you.
Now, did you read the book? No.
Yes.
You did? Okay.
See, and I'm waiting. I actually went to Changing Hands. Mm-hmm. They did not have it yet, but they had run out. But I'm waiting to see the movie until I can read the book.
I would see the movie first and then read the book, so you're not so disappointed
so you have
by the movie.
More emotional stuff after or whatever.
I would think...
You think the opposite way.
Yeah, I would go the opposite way because they're
not...
Yeah, because
you see the movie a lot of times and you're like, oh.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and the movie is really good, and I honestly think, I know it's very early in the year and my summer predictions never come true because summer people never get nominated, but Shailene Woodley, I think, has a real shot for Best Actress because there's not that many roles for women where they are the main character, the main focus, and oh my god, the boy that plays her
apparently
that plays
played
Gus,
her brother.
He played her brother in Divergent. I haven't seen Divergent, okay. But he plays her brother in this and her boyfriend in this one, and he is just a beautiful, beautiful boy. Okay. And you like the whole audience fell in love with him.
Okay.
And the plot twist you see, I'm seriously. A mildly
it's like a meatball
learning disabled second grader sees the plot twist coming.
By the way, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I worked on that one.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, if you would like something in a very, 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 very funny comedy, 22 Jump Street.
Okay,
just gets it fucking done. Okay. 21 Jump Street was really funny. 22 Jump Street, it's basically the same plan. Okay. They're
but
on
in
it.
College.
The homoerotic references are off the charts. There are fisting jokes. And as I was enjoying this beautiful man that was playing, I never get his name right, Channing Tatum?
Channing Tatum, you got it right.
Okay.
He is a sexy pants. Yeah.
The one who plays his love interest. The whole movie, I'm like, who is this guy? Because it's seriously...
The blonde guy.
So it turns out, as I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, God, he looks familiar. Where have I seen him before? And he just kept, like, looking at me in a loving way that made me say, are we friends? Why do I feel like I've touched myself before while looking at you? No, it's Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's son, Wyatt.
Oh, okay.
The Wyatt, hockey player Russell. That they were moving all over the country because he kept getting offers... from major league hockey teams and then kept getting cut.
Okay.
So they were moving everywhere because he had this promising hockey career and then he changed to an actor after like the fourth team cut him. He is gorgeous.
I can believe
that. And then the minute you realize who he is, you're like, oh my God, it's a blonde Kurt Russell.
Okay.
It's Kurt Russell back from the Shaggy Dog or whatever movie that was. Oh my God.
Shaggy D.A.
He's so pretty. And then to be in on the joke and he's seriously playing Channing Tatum's love interest.
That's really true, yeah.
And it was laugh out loud funny for the entire time. Like, every joke lands. And the people in the audience with me, they were at about 75% of the jokes. Okay. I was probably at about 85%, and I'm sure there was more. But at one point, they do this whole thing around the campus, and they're doing this like...
No. That's him?
No.
Wyatt Russell?
Wyatt Russell.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I have there.
Yeah, it's not
sometimes
him.
He's scruffy, sometimes
he's
not.
Oh, I see it.
But that guy's brunette. That's not
him. But you're right. He's a blonde version of his dad.
That's not what he looks like in any of the movies I saw him in.
Okay, because I'm like,
no, he's scruffy and blonde, and that's not a good picture if that's him.
That's not him.
Who is that?
That's,
thank you, because that's not him.
All right, well, cut me up.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Cut me up and change the hour, because I got to tell you the funny part.
Sorry, I'm sure you do. We're looking at pictures of Wyatt Russell.
Or somebody.
Some white guy. I've never Googled a white guy in my life.
I've seen him in two movies this weekend. He's scruffy.
It's all right. We can figure this out. There's so much to do. So much happening.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
We're wrapping up hour two, going into three. They just always go up one. It's like numeric, something like that. Anywho, it's Clayton McKee, the show on Q Talk America. Katie June, Marnie Wire, Al Perkins. We're coming back in just a couple seconds with the rest of entertainment section coming from Al. Also, Katie, though she's ill-prepared, and that's self-admitted, we're going to have something from her with sports and other stuff. Thoughtful vulgarities coming up. So many things. Stay with us. Join us in the chat room. Thank you for being here. It's a Tuesday night. Studio C and Q Talk America.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. It is a little after 9 o'clock Phoenix time. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Al, Marnie, and Katie. We make up the show every Tuesday night right here coming to you live from what we affectionately refer to as Studio C. Right now we are in the middle. By the way, our drinking word is...
It's a doozy.
What you hear us say doozy? If you've got a beverage, we encourage you to drink along with us because why wouldn't you? For God's sakes, we do. You should.
Oh, for God's sakes.
We're going to turn it back over to Al Perkins. He's in the middle of our entertainment section, and he's got something to tell you.
So for 22 Jump Street, I mean, how hard they're working for these jokes and how deeply embedded these jokes are in this movie that like a third viewing would probably be appropriate.
Gotcha.
They're doing this like chase scene through the campus that's completely ridiculous. And just when you think, all right, we've just lost all semblance, they're on a college campus, and all of a sudden the film speeds up for like half a second. You realize that the film has sped up, and it says the Benjamin E. Hill Film Institute. It's Benny Hill. And they do like a little tribute to Benny Hill. I mean, it lasts a half a second, but like that's how like they're really working so hard.
Benny Hill.
And it was one of those things where the guys behind me were like, what was funny about that? And I'm like,
I can't explain this to you.
I can't explain it to you. But it was really good.
You have to be a certain age to get that, really.
So then the movie that it was based on reviews. I really thought I was done, but I couldn't be. Edge of Tomorrow, Tom Cruise, and the movie's holding up pretty well because of everybody's doing the word of mouth. Great script. It's a terrible title. Cannot get to tell you how bad this title is.
Really?
It is a really clever, funny, really well, and for a sci-fi movie in this year of like, really, this has been a shitty year for a movie so far. It was very witty, very funny. Like, it was not believable, but you know what I mean? Like, you bought the premise, you got it, and really quite clever from everyone involved. And what's her name? Oh, Emily Blunt.
Yeah, I like her.
She is so good in this movie and handles the comedy. And Tom Cruise does a rare, like, ironic performance of the guy that's, like, not supposed to be the hero, and he cannot stress enough that, like, Like, I'm the PR guy. I'm the pretty smile. You put me on camera, you don't put me in combat.
This should not be happening.
Yeah, this should not be happening. Right. And it was very enjoyable, and I cannot stress enough how much I enjoyed it. And it was all reviews that were like saying how good it was. And I'm like, well, if this many people that I like are saying that it's entertaining, I guess I'll go. I usually enjoy him, but
sure.
And it's one of those movies that's now in the very back
not
of the
huge
theater.
But
I don't care for personally, but He's like the last movie star. And Julia Roberts is kind of retired, so like there aren't movie stars left that are just willing to like stand there on a screen and smile and like carry
a movie star.
Yeah, there's like him and Leonardo DiCaprio left. Like no one does it. Like I'm not here to lose 70 pounds. I'm just here to make a movie and entertain you.
Right.
And you're going to enjoy your popcorn,
like a
and we're all going to go.
Like back in the day, Jack Nicholson.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Nicholson, who, I mean, he's a great actor, but he's been playing Jack Nicholson since about 1983.
One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest, on.
On, yeah. There has not been an original performance by him.
No.
So to blame Tom Cruise for anything, I think, is stupid. But and this was a Buddy Early.
No. I just have not been a fan of his movies.
Oh,
I'll sit there and be like, okay,
with the insomnia, I just watched all the Mission Impossibles.
Oh, yeah.
All four of them. Very entertaining.
Those aren't bad. But I think I watched Vanilla Sky and there was something else.
You can't blame
else.
Him for that.
No. I'm just saying, like, watching it, I was like, ugh.
When you take
and
a...
I'm not a big Tom Cruise person.
Hmm. Yeah. And most people aren't. I get it. Because he's unironic.
But I don't like those big blockbuster movies.
I actually hate
that's why I don't like Mission Impossible type
I actually
movie.
But they're all good. All
back,
four of them.
Right.
And that fourth one, who knew that the fourth movie in a series would be the one to watch?
Sure. And how many, like when you're talking about Catch 22 or
Jump Street.
22 Jump Street. Most sequels suck.
Yeah.
So the idea that on the fourth one, you're still doing well.
But Jonah Hill again did the story. He didn't write the screenplay, but it's the original story by him that he let someone else do the screenplay, which was the first one. It's him and
Channing Tatum. They really are. They're funny together.
And you can tell, like, they get the bromance thing. They're into the homoeroticism. Right. Like, it's really a porn movie just brought down to like our rating.
Sure.
I mean, it's like there's like 15 fisting jokes through the whole movie and they do visuals
just
on it.
Bust through the ceiling.
Bust through the ceiling.
And they keep doing it.
Yeah. So you saw it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, and
it was fun.
It really was fun.
I had a fun time.
But then Buddy Early came up with the movie of the year and he recommended it. It's on video on demand. So you don't have to leave your house if you don't want to. It's in very, 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 very limited release. So check around. It's called Cold in July. It's Michael C. Hall from Dexter. I know. I recommended it, but I hadn't had a chance to see it.
Yeah.
Sam Shepard and Don Johnson in the role of his career.
Okay. What's it called again?
Cold in July. Oh. This movie, it's exciting. It's tense. It's unusual. There's plot twists in it. Are the good guys the bad guys? Are the bad guys the good guys? The score is phenomenal. Okay. That it just keeps you on the edge of your seat. You're constantly wondering what's going to happen next. I had no clue where this movie was going. And there's so few movies that I see that I have absolutely no clue where we're going next.
You figure it out.
This really is so far the best movie of the year.
No.
Hands down.
No, ignorant. Indie film?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Okay, so this
I said
just...
limited release and video on demand.
Sorry.
Okay.
No, but I honestly, I don't mean that stupid. I just didn't realize, like,
There's not a comic book character or Channing Tatum, so... I've said his name like 5 times, right?
Yeah, you really did.
But you
hesitated and you thought about it and see how it is when you worked
it. I gave it time.
Marnie Ryer.
Yeah, no, I can't get that.
Nope, not even kind of. Marge.
Yeah.
So, those kind of movies are typically the ones that you're like, meh. I mean,
no, those are the movies I look forward to. Those are always
not
the
you.
Better.
Yeah, not you. Yeah. I'm saying like people just kind of.
Yeah, nothing blows up and I don't know that person.
Right,
but this is,
right.
I mean, this is Pulitzer Prize winner Sam Shepard. Sure. Don Johnson, he fucked a couple people. and Michael C. Hall, who I think is just, he's a song and dance man. I mean, this is somebody who started in musical theater with all the gay rumors. He's
Dexter?
A singer dancer.
Wait, who?
Isn't that
Michael
Dexter?
C. Hall?
Yeah. Michael C. Hall, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a song and dance man.
You had that look on your face like you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
no, I didn't
really
know
that. Do.
Yeah,
because
why?
the first three episodes of Six Feet Under, he sings.
I never
in every
saw Six Feet.
Oh, never watched it.
See, look, attack her! Attack her!
See,
go ahead, attack your biggest fan. Attack! Sicker!
This is why I only give advice to
his
me.
His biggest fan.
Come on, Cujo.
By the way,
second biggest fan.
Thank you.
Well played. That was a
Let's
doozy of a point.
Right. All right, so that's movies. But Cold in July, video on demand, if you have cable and you have a way to see it, it may not be playing where it's playing in very limited release. It is amazing. You will not regret it. But again, Wyatt Russell, all of a sudden they get to the character in question that everyone's searching for. He comes on the screen. I'm like, oh, the guy's... I know he's supposed to be a really bad guy, but God, he's kind of attractive. And I'm like, where have I seen him before? This is literally 10 hours after I saw 22 Jump Street, and I was like, the character of Joe will be played by, I'm like, Wyatt Russell. I'm like, that's him again. I'm like, I'm on some kind of Wyatt Russell weekend. He's made 5 movies. I've seen 2 of them in like 12 hours.
Right.
Okay, so that's all that. Now, coming up on June 23rd, and I really have not slept in a long time, so I think June 23rd is this Sunday or Monday. But Monday. The Case Against 8 is the documentary that's on HBO this weekend. And they have 600 hours of footage that they started filming from the time that they first allowed gay marriage in California to the start of the churches doing the whole vote thing through the 2008 vote, right on through the court case. And they have compiled it down to an HBO documentary. And of course, like I always say, if you don't have HBO, really, what are you doing with your life? So The Case Against 8 is premiering on HBO June 23rd in their Pride Month. God bless them. They did The Normal Heart already, and now they're doing The Case Against 8. This movie looks brilliant.
Okay.
Brilliant, brilliant. And it follows the two couples that went through the case. It follows the lawyers. Just looks amazing. When we were all seeing Hedwig on Broadway, my friends and I that all went and saw it, we were saying there's no way they're going to close a show this good in August because Neil Patrick Harris will only do 4 months.
Sure.
So we were all taking bets, like, who would be the next person to come in?
Well, now, especially that it's all tonied up.
Seriously, the minute you saw that show, you knew it was never closing.
Yeah.
Like, you just knew that Hedwig and the Angry Inch weren't going nowhere.
Yeah, yep.
We were going to Cesar Chavez this bitch.
So it's like dog food.
All of us were talking, and we all came up with, like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Maybe this would be his, because he's been wanting to get into musical theater. Maybe this would be his way in. We were talking about Michael C. Hall coming back to Broadway, and maybe this would be his way in, because he played similar roles. They went with Andrew Rannells from The Book of Mormon and The New Normal.
So sad that ever ended.
Cute gay guy, and they went with him. With he's got a good fan base, and is so loved for his Book of Mormon.
Oh, he's so
what
good.
A great choice to run that show. Yeah. And I think now, once they get this set, this is going to go actor to actor and be like Chicago,
like all the big actors want to do it.
Everybody's going to want to do it and get their time in the spotlight with this. And I think it has a chance of running a really long time.
Cool.
Really exciting news. The Fargo finale is tonight. If you're watching us, thank you very much for missing the Fargo finale. I can't wait to see how that ends.
Oh, me either.
So excited.
Yeah,
John Oliver, this week, again, if you don't have HBO, I really don't understand what you do with your life. I can't stress it enough. John Oliver, I was applauding in my living room watching a TV show. Not only did he do a genius report on immigration, then he made an interview with Stephen Hawking funny. Why? Because he made Stephen Hawking funny.
Right? I have not watched Last Sundays yet.
Genius. Yeah. I just watched it before I came in here. Yeah. This John Oliver, hands down, this show needs to run for the rest of our lives.
I agree.
And as a friend of mine said in New York, I go to Fox News for comedy and I go to Comedy Central for news.
I saw that, yes.
Oh my God. John Oliver's show every week takes a really tough topic and breaks it down and gives it to you. And now he's already getting blowback. When they did net neutrality came to the Senate for when you go to a Senate hearing, and they did a Senate hearing on net neutrality, and the guy that was one of the people that was being interviewed or subpoenaed asked the man who's in charge, who used to be with cable, if you saw a couple weeks ago when he did his big thing on net neutrality, he used to be a lobbyist for the cable companies, and now he's in charge of
the cable companies,
the FCC.
I'm sorry, FCC,
So they were saying it's like having a baby and asking a dingo to babysit your baby. So at the Senate hearing, and you always wait for something to become self-aware. Like anytime you're watching a show, you wait for them to be aware of like the public love or backlash. Like you need them to know, we hate that, like on Lost, Pablo, we need Pablo to die, and Pablo died like 4 episodes later. As soon as something becomes self-aware. So John Oliver's laughing because the guy says, the guy being subpoenaed says, have you seen John Oliver on HBO? He's like, do you realize who you are in this story, that you should not be running this hearing, that you used to be a lobbyist for the cable company? Like, you are the bad guy. And he's like, the guy's like, well, I'm kind of familiar, but I'm not a dingo. And he's like, I had to Google it, and a dingo is a feral creature, and it was accused of eating babies. I'm not a dingo. And John Oliver's like, you keep saying you're not a dingo, so now I think you are a dingo. Because now you're protesting. And so it's
that
so funny.
That protests so much, right?
It's just so funny that he ended up.
A doozy of a protest.
It is a doozy.
He explained net neutrality so succinctly that the guy that's being subpoenaed is like, I will defer all questions to this videotape of John Oliver talking about why you should not be running this hearing. And it happened on C-SPAN. It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So I don't think I have anything else, so I will close with how we will transition to Katie. Let me just check one more time.
Is it about a color?
Two colors. What? One of them is new and one of them is not new. For those of us that have binge watching, have we all made it?
Yep.
No, not all the way.
Oh, my God. I rely on you with your... Oh, you're always napping with your Epstein Barr.
I'm napping. That's true now.
Shut up, Cher. Listen. I finished.
How far are you?
She has to wait till Friday.
I don't know.
Right?
Well, no, we were supposed to do it this last Friday, but...
I was thinking this Friday.
Kelly's aunt was in town, and she went over, her aunt was in town.
You can fit that into any visit. Let's just sit down and watch a show about prison.
You can fit
maybe
that in anywhere.
Yeah, she was with her mom.
What number?
We just can watch it, and I just am so buried with work, I don't even know, to be honest.
If you've hit season 7, you would not even know that aunt's name. Because once you hit episode 7, that's done. Your child is going to be at a babysitter's.
Yep.
Kelly's going to be someone you heard about once in a story.
You have to
there may be a picture of her in the
Erin
fridge.
Erin falls asleep at every... Like, she like is just sitting there and very, very Epstein-like. Like, she just falls asleep.
Narcolepsy.
Correct.
Right.
Just very tired person. And she was like, I'm up. I'm good.
Brew the coffee.
Bring it on.
I was suffering through insomnia, maybe I'll fall asleep during this episode. Yeah. Episode 8, I'm like, brew the coffee, bitches. We are in till tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't have to be to work till Thursday. And if they call me to work on Wednesday, ain't got no time for that.
Yeah.
Okay, I promise, I'll be caught up.
Oh, next week. I know you will.
Yeah.
I will.
And
only because, like, you're not going to know how not to be.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous.
Episode 7 is the turning point to the end.
And not just that. I looked at Erin after we finished watching it last night. I said, we have to find a new hobby.
Yeah. Like, now
what are we going
to do? A year? I have to wait a fucking year?
Yeah.
I should have never done that in 4 days.
What are we going to do?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It is kind of nice that we've not binged, because it's kind of nice that we're like, hey, you want to watch another episode? And it's like, there's new stuff.
So you're going to be 51 kind of nice. Weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because as soon as you hit episode 7, you're going to seriously be like, Mom, come get the kid. We got to go to prison.
Yeah.
We
have to go to prison.
We's going to prison. Everything I've ever said about, like, not having female actors in good roles, you have... Every race, every color, every sexual persuasion, it is just so well written.
If any one person from that show could be nominated for an award, who would it be?
This year, I would have to say, and because I know all the rules, I would put Crazy Eyes Susanna.
Absolutely.
As supporting actress. I would put... She has to be supporting actress.
Yeah, that's true.
I would say...
Look, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I would put Poussey for supporting actress, because I thought she was...
Okay.
Impeccable.
Okay.
And then I think...
I love Poussey.
I
do, too.
V for best guest star.
Come on.
Because they always kept her as a guest star. That is the biggest... And it's called a big bad in fanboy land, when you go on the things. Who is this season's big bad? On Dexter every season, like John Lithgow is like... Until last Tuesday or Wednesday, John Lithgow was the best big bad in TV history. Okay. There had never been anything like that
until
V showed up. And once V kicks that shit in around episode 7,
done.
and then she just turns that screw for six. I couldn't wait. They would start singing the theme song. Fast forward.
I actually love the theme song.
God, I'm like, mute that shit. That spectacle.
I love
person.
It.
No, but I couldn't get to her.
I know.
What are we gonna do? Tasty.
Erin.
Amazing. Tasty is amazing.
Amazing.
Red.
Erin sat there and was like, I have to text Al. He said he was done. I have to text Al.
Oh.
I have to know.
Oh.
And I said, well, you can do whatever the fuck you want, but you do not let me know what he says.
Oh, and did she? Yeah, I was like, I do not give spoilers.
She looked at me and she goes, I can't, because she can't watch cartoon characters that are the bad guy. And she goes, well, I can't watch the rest of this. Like, she was so troubled at one point. And I said, well, you can't. But
yeah, she texted me. She's like, I can't imagine someone. You got to tell me that she gets what's coming to her. I'm like, I will never tell you that. You will sit down and watch those episodes, bitch.
I was like, oh, hell.
Because
somebody needs to give me her
password. Why
password.
I couldn't actually continue Game of Thrones, because there's just too many bad guys, and I was like, I just can't do all these bad guys.
But this one, they just focus.
Oh yeah,
all.
No, it's I love.
Oh my God, it is, and it
horrible
really was.
Bad
and the character that I don't like the most is Piper, and she is not in. She's
she's not really in much.
The boot after episode 5 or 6, she's in like 10 minutes of every season.
Yeah,
every episode. Oh my god, it is. Oh, it's so good.
It was really.
I have never been so happy to be Insomniac as I was for that.
Yeah,
I think. Well, I started on episode 3. Is when I
remember last week.
Episode 3 was fucking with me, and I watched. Yep. I sat there for 10 straight hours. Yeah, and crazy. If you would have came in and told me, like, the building's on fire, bring the TV. Me and the TV are going outside. And I guess we got to bring out the Blu-ray player because that's where it comes
in
from.
That's right.
Or I can watch it on my phone, but we got to figure this out.
The fact that it's here, I think that they're brilliant.
Yeah, and now.
Brilliant.
But with the Emmy rules, I can't remember when it came out last year. I don't think they're eligible for anything.
That's what you were saying last week.
For this year, because May 31st, I think, is still the cutoff. So I think you have to wait a year for them to be eligible.
Wow. So it could be next year and they'd have to remember.
But I don't know when it came out last year because it took me a while to get caught up to that. Yeah. I didn't go in the first couple of weeks because I just didn't like Piper.
Yeah,
I thought it was another show about a white woman.
Sure.
And then I realized it was the Weeds Lady, and I'm like, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? Why am I going outside and talking to people? Why would I do that?
I have to tell you, some of just the best lines toward the end in that.
Oh.
And I don't, it's just lines, so I'm not giving, because I hate spoiler shit, but just some great lines. Where you're like, oh, totally. So now in my head, for the last like 2 days, I've made statements about rude people, and I mean, it's just fantastic. So when you get
baby, don't fear the reaper. Oh my god! But everything about the clitoris and Pensatucky, and then what
Pensatucky,
was
fantastic.
Okay, I don't know what her name is. The one that the driver.
Oh, I love her.
Have you seen her backstory
Marissa,
yet?
Not
which was so
great.
Unexpected. Oh, genius.
Because I just loved her.
Genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the West Side Story.
Oh, yeah.
Maria.
Yeah.
I'm like, just snap. And it'll come. Yeah, she's West Side Story.
I don't know if you realize this. We have more segments to do and things to talk about.
But I knew this was going to like fall into hers. And I have a couple suggestions for you for yours. We have the OJ anniversary. We caught the Benghazi
20 years
dude.
Today.
Yeah. So feel free to use those.
Still dead.
Well, I only have a couple.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, yes.
All right, because I need more wine.
Well, you're not. Oh, Jesus Christ. You're going to step out of the. Hurry. We're not going. No. The whole thing about Gene. Stand by.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
We got to transition. Deadline!
Huge. Come on.
Deathwatch!
Oh my god, Casey Kasem's number one!
Number one and getting higher all the time!
Girl, with a bullet!
On his way to heaven!
I did not realize we had ever put him
on there. Oh my god, yeah. I noticed.
Yeah.
That was actually the first thing.
Apologies.
The first thing I thought of when I heard the news.
My back is to the board, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And there are brownies in front of me, so where am I looking?
That's a good point.
So
perhaps
pull up the old
some of those.
Dr. Drew's Death Den and let's update.
Well, Casey Kasem died.
Well, if it weren't for those meddling kids.
Who gets points for this one?
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
I don't know who to give points to for this one.
I don't know.
But he has the second most popular. It's number two with a bullet. Form of Alzheimer's.
It's
form
called
of dementia.
Dewey or Louie.
Louie.
I thought it was Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Not all three. He only had one of them.
Well. You got 5 seconds to claim it because.
Well, then I'll claim it. Fuck all right,
go ahead and give it to him because I already had, you know, I have some good shit.
Yeah, you already have 20 points.
I kind of feel like.
We'll give you 5 points for him.
I'm going to go back and listen to all these shows.
They were arguing over his dead body.
We're arguing over points.
I feel like.
And
he
I would
knew
like to say
coming.
For the record, Jean Kasem is crazy. She's
cray
nuts.
Cray.
Oh, there's a lot of crazy people in this story, but she leads the pack.
But
she,
I don't think
again
I don't,
number one with a
I don't,
bullet.
I don't Whoa, think the kids are
nuts.
Crazy at all.
No, I don't either.
No, they
but
seem
she's
they do seem very reasonable.
Nuts. And his daughter is beautiful.
The son is
beautiful.
Actually
there,
I think pretty handsome.
Jean and Casey Kasem's child, and is it a girl? That's a girl too.
I think it's a girl. Yeah.
She seems bewildered, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered by the whole thing.
Because
she's kind of like, she knows her older siblings.
Right.
And maybe there were good times at some point, but it's all soured. And that poor thing. Is it a girl?
Well, God,
I think it's a girl.
I think it's a girl, too.
I gotta Google.
Fucked up.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay, so yeah. we need an addition.
I think he looks exactly kind of like Dad, but in a hat. That's the son.
Well, I wonder if he has the
oh
same.
Oh, my God, exactly.
Like, yeah, but that's the older son. That's
yeah,
the
older
kid.
Son. Yeah, because
right,
yeah. Yeah,
it's the two older kids that right. were the saviors, if you will.
Exactly, even though, like, but you're right.
So who are we going to add
kids,
to
kids, I got a piece.
Well,
so
go.
We'll fight amongst yourselves.
Who do we think we should add?
I want to add Olivia to that one. I think it's time.
Oh.
You think so?
Do we still have Zsa Zsa on that thing?
Yeah, she's Zsa Zsa is down there, and then and actually, and number 11 is Buddy Early or Pat Robertson.
Well, Buddy put himself on there.
I mean, on our list, let's see, let's go from 10 to 1. Zsa Zsa is at 10. Number yep. 9 is Billy Graham.
Yep.
How
is he not dead?
Billy Graham, religious bigot. or Kirk Cameron.
Thank you, Al.
Actually, Kirk Cameron is a religious bigot. I'm sorry, not Billy Graham. Okay. Number 8, Sally Struthers. 8, Bagoda is at number 7. Nancy Reagan or Barbara Bush are at 6. We have number 5 is Paris or Perez Hilton. Right. Either one. Number 4, Phil and or Betty Windsor.
Casual racist, right.
Number 3, Kenny Rogers, the Rogers of the Roasters.
Absolutely.
Jerry Lewis is with an asterisk at number 2, so I don't know if that means Jerry and anybody else affiliated with the MD telethon.
Well, I hope not, that's Laura and Kelly and all that,
but
so we don't
Casey Kasem also was affiliated with the Jerry Lewis telethon because he used to be the announcer.
Kids.
For, you know, back in the day.
I did not know.
Yeah, he was always on the
Maybe
telephone.
Maybe that's the answer.
So anyway, I don't know. Who do we need to add? I'm not saying they're really in no real order. It's just we need to find another person to add to the Death Watch.
Okay.
I want to keep her alive, so I'm adding Mary Tyler Moore.
Well, see, now, remember, that's the we want to keep him alive thing. That's the hint. Because, I mean, Valerie Harper, come on.
Because we took Valerie Harper off.
We did. She's
in
remission.
Mary Tyler Moore's in poor health.
No, she is in poor health.
Who's in poor health?
I agree.
Mary Miller? Oh.
Wait, is Jean...
She's not going to make it after all?
Did Jean and Casey have a child out?
I thought they had a girl.
Liberty? Was it Liberty?
I don't know.
Might have been Liberty.
Yes, there is a child. There is a child with them.
Got it.
Who's been caught up in all this? Because I think she's close to everybody, so she's kind of torn.
Right.
Could be.
No. All right, Katie, you ready for sports?
I'm ready. Today in sports, another stuff. It's a short day. The World Cup is happening, and the U.S. is the big winner. But sadly, it's an excuse for violence in some other parts of the world. We have a heartwarming tribute to Tony Gwynn and the White House and LGBT workplace discrimination.
Oh, this executive order.
In sports.
And other stuff.
All right.
That's a doozy of a story.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus. Yeah.
So the World Cup. It's going on. It's fun. It's we talked about it a little bit.
Where we get Ricky Martin from. Ricky Martin was really like... Struggling.
I thought he was in Menudo.
No.
I know. He did the World Cup thing.
Yeah, what's the World Cup song? I had it in my head until you started.
Oh.
No,
I don't know what the fuck it's called.
Yeah,
that's
the Cup of Life.
Cup of Life.
La Copa de Vida.
That's it.
Wow, good job.
That's not where we get him from. But
He went from Menudo, and then, okay.
He had his whole solo career, then he did that.
No, but he was a failure. He flopped everywhere. The man was...
Maria? No.
He failed everywhere, and then he tried on Broadway, and he was Marius, and it didn't work for him, and he was flopping everywhere. And then he did the World Cup song, and he had his Grammy performance, where he did the Cup of Life and the gayest performance in history.
Ever.
And the song that had flopped, all of a sudden, it already made it to the charts and flopped and came back because of his Grammy performance.
Because he was standing out there going,
the World Cup is what brought him back.
So the recent matches, Russia and South Korea ended in a tie. So what happens when that happens?
That's all good because it depends on how many points they each had.
Oh.
The scoring system is based on how many points you scored. So a 0-0 tie is possible, but you don't get any points for it, so you kind of end up at the bottom.
Brazil and Mexico just had a 0-0 tie as well today. Belgium beat...
And that was a hot-looking crowd.
Belgium beat Algeria 2-1, and the USA in an upset. We've lost to Ghana.
Twice in a row.
And we scored the first... goal
within a minute.
It was like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was really quick.
It was really fast. And then it was the very end of the game. I want to say, or the match. What are they? Soccer's a match.
Yeah.
Football, rather.
Football.
Like the last 4 minutes or something crazy, Ghana came back and scored a goal. And then, like, right before it ended, a totally unexpected player had a header.
Cute, cute,
really
cutie.
Cute. He had a header and scored a goal. It was a doozy of a shot. And the best part is watching him like come away after it. Like he was just like totally excited, floored.
And then he got dry humped by like seven hot guys.
God. Hence your porn.
Al, you should literally pick up this new sport.
It's porno.
No, I'm watching this and I'm like, why are the gays not flocking
to
the football? Because it is, they're all in those loose shorts with their dicks. They're just dangling.
Brazil is doing
dangling.
In group A, which I don't know if it makes it, is like group A the best group?
It doesn't matter which group you're in, it's who you're grouped with. And we got screwed because, you know, the USA sucks at soccer.
We're in a tough one, but they said that, I think I said this last week, we're not the group of death. He said, you're the group of terminal illness, but not, someone said that, but not the group of death. But we're doing all right now. So Germany beat Portugal. So now does that mean, we play Portugal coming up on the 22nd.
And suck this year. They're filled with injuries. Perfect. So we have a really good shot of beating them.
All right.
Because they lost their first one.
If we can get past Germany because they win a lot, then we're doing all right. So anyway, it's it's been kind of fun to watch. I've had some of the games on in the background a little bit, and it's cool.
TV's on in that room right now.
So that's what's going on there.
I cannot watch it.
Really super sad, though. In Nigeria, of course, we have just hateful people. Really sad and scary, dangerous. A suicide bomber detonated a tricycle taxi packed with explosives in an outdoor World Cup viewing center tonight, actually. It was earlier.
Right. I can't wrap my head around that. Why joy is bad? Why do you just have to kill people? What? I don't get that.
Because they're miserable.
Well, and it's so weird because usually, like, the World Cup.
It's all religion.
Yeah.
Duh.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, I won't even bring it up.
Soccer is religion.
But the thing is, like, soccer is, like, something that everyone in the world seems to generally be able to rally around. So the fact that this asshole's blowing people up.
It's an excuse to be able to kill people.
Well, a lot of people in one area.
Whomever.
Whatever you're worshiping.
Right.
Anyway, so really, really, really too bad. And thoughts with the folks in Nigeria. So, Baseball Hall of Fame. You guys know Tony Gwynn.
Liberty. Yep.
I remember playing or watching him play when the Padres were, it was the Padres and Mariners were out at the Peoria Sports Complex. That was their spring training. And that was right out where I lived. So we used to ride our bikes like all the time. And so I was never like, I've never been a super huge baseball fan, but I always really liked Tony Gwynn. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine showed me some funny cheer where you hit your toe and you hit your knee and you do something funny. And I was like, oh, he's fun. So I kind of always watched him, you know, like as a kid going out there. So he died today, really young, 54. Had salivary gland cancer.
Yeah, do you know what it was from?
It was all from chewing tobacco. Mm-hmm. And
he thought he hadn't smoked, and so he was safe.
Okay. Now,
and he spoke out about it after a number of years that he battled with it, so he spoke out about it.
I was just going to say, like, who doesn't know how bad...
Oh, a lot of people
Plus,
think that.
Plus, it's disgusting.
It's really gross.
It's the one thing I draw the line on besides canker sores, the things I won't sleep with.
I tried it once in high school because some of the boys were doing it. And so like I put it in my mouth and I barfed immediately. Yeah. Like I literally threw up within about 10 seconds.
I have tried it. I think it's very terribly difficult to keep everything in one place.
Really? And it's just ugly. It's just ugly.
Oh, totally.
It's gross. Mm-hmm. And really, really sad. It killed a very talented...
And really in the prime of his life.
Hall of Famer. Yeah, a Hall of Famer athlete. So really, really super sad. And then we've also got some big news from the White House. Why did I just miss? Oh, that yesterday, right? This was just yesterday. That President Obama has given direction to his staff to draft an executive order that would ban workplace discrimination against LGBT employees of federal contractors. So the HuffPost said this move is the clearest indication to date that the administration is prepared to take action on LGBT rights where Congress has fallen short. Notably, the official would not say whether the president will sign the order into law on Monday, suggesting the White House is leaking news to warn lawmakers that they have a limited window to pass more sweeping workplace discrimination legislation before he acts without them. So,
they'll do nothing.
They won't do anything.
They won't do anything. But good for him. And there's a big pushback from the Benghazi people that oh, he's a dictator. I have two things on this one. But they're saying, like, oh, he passes so many, he's doing all these executive orders. He still is, like, way behind every other modern president on executive orders. Like,
do they do, like, is there, there's no fact check. We know there's no fact checking, but how do they just, like, I just don't
Because
get
if
it.
You hear it, you just believe it until you turn on Comedy Central or John Oliver right. and someone's like, right. here's the numbers, people. You know what I mean?
Or you do a little research.
Or Fox News has two people argue it and they both have the same point and you don't realize that they're both on the same, they're both on the same side.
So horrible.
Yeah. Craziness. And I can't remember what the other thing I was going to talk about.
I had one other really quick thing. There was a, and it's kind of, it's a little bit of a downer, but it just made me feel a little bit crazy coming driving home from work today was, we had this horrible murder in Phoenix at one of the Catholic churches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made national news. It was really awful. And, you know, the worst part about it is the guy who committed the crime, it was ultimately, they imagine, a burglary gone bad. He was literally released, from prison 2 months ago.
April 27th.
Yeah, on burglary charges that were bad enough that he sent him to prison.
He
probably
stabbed
armed.
Somebody.
Oh, good. Fantastic.
And he went into an apartment complex.
Yeah.
And stabbed someone.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing it up, because that's what pisses me off.
Yeah. Yeah. So right.
Correct.
And he...
And the sad part is where did he get the gun from? It was the priest.
It was the priest.
It was the priest.
Oh, it was his.
Yeah. And he wrestled the gun away from the priest and he shot the priest.
But the whole point is why aren't people that are constant offenders...
He should have the death penalty now. I really genuinely... Although I did hear someone saying that it costs a lot more to put someone to death.
Right. We've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah.
But it turns out the truth, the higher cost is in
the death penalty rather than incarcerating
because
him
for
life.
Because of all the trials and all the legal fees.
Yeah. Right. But regardless, I mean, this asshole...
But this is someone
that
needs
to God
that
if this,
rehabilitate him and then make him be the cook in the kitchen at the prison where he'll never get out of
it. But, like, he needs to never be free again. He obviously... He can't handle it. Okay, so I was listening to KTAR, which I've been listening to more NPR lately, and so I'm starting to not like KTAR as much. I went through a period where
nuts.
I was like, well, they're just loud and obnoxious. And, like, NPR is giving me news, and KTAR is yelling at me about things.
And KTAR, they just hate Obama.
They're obnoxious.
That's their constant. They have one...
Right.
All they do is... Obama's evil.
But even outside of that, because it's kind of like you watch Fox News for your humor. Like, I listen to them, and I'm just like, you guys are idiots. But anyway... they were saying today, Mac and Gatiss were arguing that priests should just have guns. They should, obviously. Like, it was really unfortunate, but if the other priests would have also had guns on them, then they could have taken this guy down. And I just, like, don't get the logic.
Same thing at the schools.
I don't get the logic where a lot of people seem to be moving that if you are a victim of gun violence... You need to also have a gun. Like, where is the logic in that? So give more people guns. They act bad about it. Give more people guns to protect them. Instead of, like, let's cut off the gun violence at the source. Guns.
Because now they're hit with the real story. That usually if you have a gun and you're a peaceful person, like I would hope a priest would be, someone's going to take the gun and shoot you with it. And that's exactly what happens with guns in homes.
May I just?
Andrew Bay.
Las Vegas.
I remembered the second part of my story. Go ahead.
Las Vegas, you have two militant, white, ugly, nasty, woman, etc., that Clive and Bundy turned away.
Because they were too extreme and
too fucking crazy. And they go in and they kill two cops.
And Alex Cross is his name. Alex Cross is a member. Alex Jones. The really crazy lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
The one that has all the conspiracy theories that says that Newtown's not a real thing.
Right.
He says these two, there's no proof that they really shot anybody.
Oh, Jesus. So.
Google that fucker.
They walk in and they kill the two cops and do their little, what was it, the swastika, et cetera.
Yeah.
But then they go into Walmart. And this is the gun part that was too much for me and, to me, complete point. They walk into Walmart, they get out, right? They got the guns going and get out. They get everybody out. Gentleman has a gun. He's a registered gun owner, concealed weapon, permit holder, and has a clear shot at male douchebag takes out his gun, is going to kill this guy, except for he doesn't know said shaved head wife is over here and has a gun, and she kills him. You never know who has the gun. Where is everybody?
Right.
It doesn't matter that you have the gun. And by the way, 9 different people pull out the guns. Now how do we know who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy?
Yeah, there isn't one.
And there's the who's plot of Cold in July.
And there you have it. Bringing it all together. Anyway, that's a doozy of a bring back.
Yeah,
to see that,
just
no?
makes but, me feel right? super crazy. Like, people are bad with guns, so let's give everybody guns. Like, let's give the children guns. Let's give the college campuses guns. Give the principals teachers. Guns. Give the teachers guns. Mm-hmm. Give the kids gun-proof blankets. Give the priests guns. Not just quit selling guns.
And then everybody will just shoot each other, and only the good guys live.
Yeah, sure.
So on this whole paranoia of Alex Jones, and I can't remember what the... I can't remember what the show is that the call in. Oh, I think it's Ralph Reed.
Okay.
I think it might actually be Ralph Reed. I may be making that up, but I'm pretty sure
that he's on this guy's side.
No. That this caller calls in to some show, and I was listening to David Pakman
again.
I don't sleep,
Alex
so
Jones.
I'm able Alex Jones. So I'm able to like take in all this stuff because I haven't slept in like a week and a half. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow for this problem, by the way.
Good.
So
tune in next week to find out what happens.
to wake me up from a long winter's nap. No, I work the next 5 days, so even if I do get something, I have to stay awake. So this guy calls
Rip
in,
Van
and he
Perkins.
Says he's so disgusted by Obama, and he's so afraid because he knows that Obama is trying to take over the government, and he's going to rig it so that he can cancel the elections of 2016 and just continue on being president.
Yep.
And whoever, I can't remember if it's Ralph Reed or one of the guys is like, oh, that's a real concern. No, it's not. Oh, my God. We all love Obama. We all voted for him. And we're all like, you're done in 2016, sir.
Right.
Every single one of us is ready to say, 8 years are over. We all move on.
Yeah, like, that's how it happens.
There's no one on our side. There's no one on your side. There's someone on TV, on CNN, every hour doing a town hall who's ready to run in 2016.
Right.
Can you fucking imagine? And this is the thing that somebody listens to, and a caller says to who they think is an authority figure, Obama might cancel the 2016 elections.
Oh, God.
And the authority figure says, oh, yeah, you're right. That's a real concern.
No, it's not at all. That's
crazy. But you're listening to those people, and these are people that are gun owners that are afraid, that think Clive Bundy or whatever his name is out in the middle of fucking nowhere, Clevis, is a hero. And you're like, it's really so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was the just kind of some info on stuff that's going on in politics, and that's it for
other
sports
stuff.
And other stuff.
No.
And I have to clarify one again. I'm going to do like clarifications of things I've said before. As I'm watching all the coverage, CNN did like an hour, and it was really gratuitous, I thought, of the 20-year anniversary of the Bronco
I thought
chase.
So too.
But luckily, on my bike here, I passed a white Ford Bronco, so I did a little like memorial segment, and I always
knew it wasn't OJ.
I always tell people, like, if you watch the TV, you thought he was guilty. If you read the newspaper, you thought he was innocent. I'm not saying I don't think he didn't do it. I'm just saying if you read the newspaper, you realize that the defense or the prosecution was failing on
every... Oh, my God. You believe that as well?
That the prosecution just failed on every... So
absolutely.
So the reasonable doubt came up constantly because if Nancy Grace was trying him,
oh God,
then yes, he was guilty. If you were if all you were reading was like what the TV people were saying, yes, he was guilty. But if you were actually following the trial, which really took reading because you had to get past the sensational headlines to like, that's not allowed in court. That's not allowed in court. Yes, we're all saying it in the media, but they don't get to see the media and the judge. It's not allowed in court. It's hearsay. It's this, it's that. You would never believe he would be convicted of the crime if you were, and that's what I always mean. Like, I'm not saying he's guilty or innocent. I don't know. I wasn't there. But what I do know is from what I read and what they allowed the jurors to see and what they didn't allow the jurors to see, there was no way that man was going to be found guilty.
He was never going to be found guilty.
That their case
was
botched. They did a shitty job.
Pretty sure I watched every day of that trial.
And if you watched it, but if you went to court TV,
who was the prosecutor?
I want to say all red.
Marsha Lewis.
Marsha Clark.
Lovely talent.
Marsha Clark and Christopher Darden.
Was she just a really, really bad?
No, she had a bad mole.
Attorney?
No, no, she wasn't a bad attorney. She just she was up against a lot of things, and a lot of their evidence just was.
And they thought it was clear cut.
Rock solid.
I mean, you had Christopher Darden who went in, and if it that whole do you remember this at all? The idea of if it doesn't fit, it you must acquit.
Right. Oh yeah,
And they should have never let him try the gloves on. They were wet. They had been soaked. They were soaked in blood. They were wet. They'd been sitting somewhere. They had shrunk up. They were never going to fit him.
And they put it, they're like, you know, we're going to have them put these on. They're going to fit. It's going to be easy. He puts them on. They don't fit. Uh-oh. Now you're done. You have Mark Furman, who goes up on the stand, who's this apparent
racist
bigot guy who's made comments about black folks. Well, he's the one who found the second glove at OJ's house. Did he plant it?
Right.
It was...
There was so much wrong. And then what was admissible and what was not admissible.
Right.
And I went... Because I was working at the Hilton at the time, and I was always reading the newspaper every morning. And I was watching the TV, too. But because I was bored in between breakfast shifts, that I would read the newspaper. But I would get to page two.
Right.
I would make it past the headline and get to page two. And they're like, not admissible, not admissible, not admissible. Yeah. You're like, well, that's all great that... And it wasn't Nancy Grace at the time. Bless you.
Oh, they hadn't found that annoying bitch.
They hadn't found that cunt yet.
No, and What's-Her-Face wasn't sober yet. Whoever, Jane Valdez Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
She was probably still drinking over
there. You were on Star Jones. That's how Star Jones became famous.
That's right.
I know The View today, they were talking about the people that became famous off of because the OJ of trial, and they, like, not one of them said Star Jones.
No. We'll just leave
Funny
that
how
alone.
They forgot about that little detail. So it really was interesting as far as, like, of not being, you know, and I can't remember when the Memphis Three happened, but it's all in the era of, like, people being accused of something based on rock solid evidence,
right?
In the Central Park Five and all these cases that kept coming up that were like, but you were all making that shit up,
right?
That all of a sudden,
and
so,
you got everybody so like
into
crazy.
A frenzy over the media circus that somebody didn't get convicted of something. So I don't know. It was a weird time to see, like, and you know, soap operas are gone because of that. I don't know if we've ever talked about that.
Oh, wow.
That because they interrupted daytime television
for so long
that people at first were like, oh my God, what did you do to my soap operas? And then when the trial was over, people were like, well, why are you playing soap operas? Don't you have anything like court related?
Oh, and that's when court TV.
And that's when all but like three or four soap operas went into like a huge decline. And now there's four soap operas on the air?
Yeah, there's hardly any of them.
You had to survive the OJ trial.
That's very
That's
true.
Interesting.
All the different things that it was. It was the trial of the century because of how much it affected all of us. I cannot believe I'm going to quote somebody who works for Glenn Beck, but he said it was the focus on his comment today was like, we were focusing on something like it was the end of the world. And it was just a white Bronco driving down the freeway, but the whole world went away.
Stopped.
Like all of a sudden, like Darfur, like all the things that all of a sudden didn't matter because we were just focused on this. Like, you could do anything. And like Bush, anytime Bush should have been prosecuted for a crime, Michael Jackson was on trial.
That's right.
So Bush got to invade countries and do all these different things because we were focused on, is Michael Jackson a pedophile? Mm-hmm. That's maybe 5 seconds of news. That's not 24-hour coverage.
Right.
But the OJ trial skewered, like, if you play that white Bronco, nothing else will ever matter.
Well, I remember,
and we kind of lost real news.
Oh, big time!
And to Comedy Central for the rest of our lives.
Big time, because and
I'm talking with this pen like I'm very important.
If you do this, you're presidential. You have to do the
or Bob Dole.
Bob Dole. Yeah,
The thumb.
It's a Bob Dole thing.
I know that during that trial, I remember because I did. I watched every day, and I was going to school at the time, and I'm pre-law, so I that's what my big deal was. Like, I wanted to do civil attorney. I wanted to be a civil attorney and do all this. And I sat there and I just watched and I watched and I watched, and I kept going, he's not guilty. And the problem is that I kept saying he's not guilty, and I had a lot of women, like big time, that would almost attack because I'm just saying it in a very kind of Asperger's-y way. Like, well, he's not guilty. They're not proving it, is what I meant.
Right.
They're not proving it at all. But they would hear me say he's not guilty, and it was like, oh, she's a horrible human being. And I'm sitting there like, no. They're just not proving it.
And I really...
None of it.
I realized at that time, like, how biased you are on certain things. And being from Buffalo...
Okay.
Or not from... I'm not from Buffalo, because I hate when people say I'm from Buffalo. I'm from Niagara Falls. Right. But being from that area... He was a hero.
Sure. Oh, God. I didn't even think about that.
So,
yeah.
Like, you were taking down, sure. like, one of the, besides Rick James, that's all we had.
Right.
You know what I mean? There are not a lot of heroes from the region.
You got the black folk.
Yeah.
Rick James, bitch.
Who's it? Right.
So that's what we were working with. So I'm like, you're taking down a hero. So I really paid close attention to it. A friend of mine read, like, every, because she still goes to every Bills game. Like, okay. She's obsessed. She can't move away because if she moves, she has to go back for the Bills game.
Sure.
So she was obsessed with him, and so she reads every book to find like a glimmer of hope that he's innocent. So I mean that, but I realized
of
like
that crime
of that crime. But if I was a juror, like I could see where like all of a sudden I understood where biases,
sure,
honestly come in, and biases that you're like, I didn't think a Buffalo Bills bias would be part of my inner jury, but here it is, sure. there it is.
Yeah, I don't know as far as being on a jury. Mom was on a jury, a year ago? It was a year ago in May for almost 5 weeks.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
I remember
and,
that.
Yeah, it was for child porn.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was...
Clayton?
Yeah. Oops. But no, it was about... It
not
was
even a, something to joke about.
No, it was about child porn. It was about...
I'm allowed a bad joke once in a while.
Doozy.
That'll be redacted from the audio.
but for her to go into that as a and it was about him molesting his daughter, the Ugh. Idea of him oh. Go, or mom being in there having a daughter or a child mm-hmm. and
being
and
a
having,
human, I think is all you need on
a
that.
Human,
that's right. That's where I'd have to draw the line.
I give my mom all the credit in the world. All the credit in the world, because she was like, it was one of the hardest things I ever had to do, but I had to separate and just hear what was there and hear what was being said and understand the law that was being presented. And I give her all kinds of credit, because anything that I heard about, I'm like, oh, hell no, bitch. You're guilty. And for almost every, you know, with OJ, admittedly, he beat the hell out of her. He said that he beat the hell out of Nicole Brown.
Right, but there's a difference between beating somebody and decapitating.
You're
right.
But I mean, like, there were instances of domestic violence. And, mm-hmm. There, you know, there were all kinds of things. So if you let that crawl in, that's where a Buffalo Bill defense or
I said this at the time, and I kept saying that if this really is what happened, then this is one of the greatest sociopaths mm-hmm. we've ever had in captivity in our lives, but no one will say it.
I firmly believe
so
it was
now
his son.
In all these interviews, I
firmly believe it was his son.
And I think it's a friend of his. I think it's someone he knew that did it, and he knew that it happened. A knife is a crime of passion.
I agree.
That's not stranger danger.
You're right.
A gun is stranger danger. Mm-hmm. Knifing someone and nearly decapitating them is sure. someone you know, someone sure. that knows you. That's a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. With what went on.
Hmm.
There
were sons, Bruno Mollies, but whatever.
I can't remember what we were just talking about.
The end.
But fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. What were you just talking about? Because I had an interesting point, but I don't remember what it was.
Can you come up with it in just a minute?
Yeah, maybe less. What were we just talking about? We were talking about the biases and
Go ahead.
Do your thing.
Oh, I'm going into the vault of vulgarity.
I'm ready.
Attica, let's do this. Jesus Christ.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity. Where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Okay, so we're going to do a real thoughtful vulgarity one on this topic.
On this topic?
The murders for West Memphis 3 were 1993, by the way.
Yeah, same time, same time, same frame. Time of railroading, railroading people into prison. Nope. Okay, so it's been brought up in cost and everything. Death penalty. Mm-hmm. For it? Against it? What are your thoughts? That's a real thought. That's a real 3 hours into liquor ask a question that pisses everybody else.
Oh, please. I had a discussion with Aaron today about abortion. This is easy.
Abortion's easy. Death penalty. That's
this
tricky.
Is different. I'm not clear cut on I am for it. I'm against. I think it's dependent on circumstances, which is therefore sometimes the death penalty has been assigned where I'm like, what? Like, I may not understand why. Per law, it. Yes. I mean, according to the law, the death penalty can be applied, but it just doesn't seem, I don't know if rational is the right word, but it doesn't seem right. But there are instances where, yeah, I'm for the death penalty. Jodi Arias, if you follow that trial at all, where she, almost the same thing. She's like the female OJ.
She was convicted, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We're just waiting on the sentencing trial.
Because I get her confused with the Florida gal. Or she's
Casey
the Florida
Anthony.
Gal.
Oh, Casey Anthony.
Oh, Casey Anthony.
Yeah, another one, convicted by the media.
Right. Well, and when you look at with OJ, I mean, he was convicted in the civil court. There's all kinds of
But you don't need
stuff.
The burden of proof.
You don't need the burden of proof. Well, in court you do. Right? But in
a civil case, you don't.
In a civil case, you don't, but they could bring in everything that they couldn't bring in.
Right.
You know, so it was kind of crazy how lopsided that
was. And if it was one of the two people that we just mentioned that we think might have done it, he's still responsible because he knew.
That's right. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's not saying he did it. It just says that he was.
He's an accomplice, therefore.
He's responsible.
Mm-hmm.
You're
but
done.
Yeah, I do. I think it was just dependent.
There's a follow up question, yeah. So I just want to get through this. So.
I don't know. I think, I'm for it. I'm not, like, morally opposed to the death penalty. I think that, like, I'm all for, you know, it's hard because, like, there's a lot of overcrowding in the prisons and we're...
So kill them.
Well, I don't know.
I'm giving away the follow-up question.
Right. So there's a lot of overcrowding, but clearly we've discussed that it costs more money to the taxpayers to kill someone than to put them... in prison forever. There's the whole idea of rehabilitating them if they're for life in prison. I know this just sounds totally hateful, but really, who cares? You're spending your life in prison. Do you need to be rehabilitated? I mean, I don't know. So you can, like, get good with God. I don't know. But
we can send you to God quicker.
Yeah, that's well,
let's do that.
True.
Express lane.
But I do love the movie The Life of David Gale with Kevin Spacey, Laura Linney, and I just thought that was such an intense movie, and it just highlights all of the problems with the death penalty that people are wrongly convicted and sentenced and put to death wrongly.
Right.
And that's horrible. Obviously, you know. So I don't know. I'll say that I'm not morally opposed to it.
Okay. Good. That's a good. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Not morally opposed to it either. I think if you've got somebody who either, you know, if it's there's no doubt at all, everybody in the world saw somebody do it. They killed somebody. If you killed somebody, it's eye for an eye. And the way I'm looking at it is, and if there's if
oh,
there's
a biblical quote, if there's a Bible. McKee goes to the Bible.
But there's absolutely. I like fiction.
True.
But no, if there's, you know, 100% DNA evidence that proves you were there, that you did it, if it's lock, stock, and barrel, if we still don't know, and if there's still any variable, like if somebody, they say somebody killed somebody, and they, because they've sprung so many people with DNA evidence that prove they weren't the instigator of a death, I think if we've got if it's lock solid, and you've got DNA, and they admit it, and people saw them, and or however well you stack it, yeah, I agree. I don't have any problems. Let's just sell that ship, or make it be whatever that game is that people put them all in Alcatraz, let them fight it out. Just go to hell.
Duke it out.
Yeah, what
the
is that
fight
called?
Club.
What is
no,
it?
No. With
the Hunger Games.
Hunger Games.
There you go.
Yeah, let them go.
Okay, I'm gonna go with morally opposed. And
why?
I would just say because everybody has a different. Mine wouldn't be for killing. Mine would be for rape. Like, mine would be for rape because the person that's raped is usually alive to tell you that person raped me. And if you have the DNA evidence, that I'm like, grapes or we're going to kill somebody. You killed somebody, everybody dies. Oh, well, but not everybody. And that's my morals. Yep. Like, when it comes to rape, that's when I think we need to start doing the castrating. You know what I mean? And I think
living with your men were castrated, that would be so great.
Your human rights activists would stand up and tell you.
Yes. I would love it if men got penis chopped off.
I'm with you. I would accept that argument from them and fight them to the death.
I agree.
So then my follow-up question would be like, okay, so you're for it, you're on board. Everything seems hunky-dory. You've been convicted. Nancy Grace thinks you're guilty. The TV thinks you're guilty.
She thinks everybody's guilty.
And she's a cunt.
Everybody's guilty.
I hate that fucking woman. And a great joke on John Oliver this week was like, here's some arguments that still have someone to back them. Yes, the fourth time you leave a message, you're still sane. Nancy Grace is a nice lady.
And then he gives you
the thing that he's arguing for that he's like, nope, doesn't hold water. Right? I love it.
As he goes
through this whole host of things that are just horrible. And the last one is, Nancy Grace is a nice lady. So my problem with the death penalty, and the only reason I just want someone to be there to testify.
You need to take a nap there, Roseanne?
I think so, yeah.
I just want someone there to say that's them, because if someone doesn't point to them and say they did this to me, and then I still am morally opposed. So let's say everyone's convicted them. Nancy Grace has put them in the grave. Mm-hmm. Everything on TV's told you so. The jury convicted them, and then you're looking at the West Memphis 3 mm-hmm. or the Central Park 5. Mm-hmm. Can you still hold that moral conviction?
No, but my thing
is that everything said guilty. But cut dried, proven 100 times over.
There were,
but I don't remember what your answer was.
The majority of people said that OJ was guilty. It wasn't proven, right?
Right, but the other two in the same time frame.
Right, no, but that wasn't.
And they both got the death. They really, both got the death penalty.
Sure, they did, but that wasn't necessarily proven either.
No, they were both proven guilty.
Found guilty, right? But that's not all you need proven. I'm saying in my eyes.
Right. But if you're for it and everything is said guilty.
No, what I said is dependent on the situation. I think that there are different. So you didn't know
that the West Memphis 3 were not guilty till like 1999. They would have been dead 6 years before you decided.
Well, they're not going to be dead 6 years because they don't kill them the minute they walk out of court. And that's my big deal, is that I have always said that when it comes to this kind of stuff, with the idea of whether it be the death penalty or even the idea that criminals can appeal irritates the fuck out of me.
Right.
Because enough already, you have been, what my deal is, you have your trial, you're found guilty, you have two appeals. There's new evidence, because you have to have new evidence for an appeal. You can't just be like, I want more people. So you have two more appeals. That's your three strikes, you're out. You're found guilty all three times.
Which is the West Memphis 3.
And I'm going to go with DNA proof, as I have written down here, because before a certain time period.
Which is OJ. OJ introduced DNA testing to the entire world.
Right.
That's the other thing we have to thank
for. And
that
was before your West Memphis 3.
But both their retrials were DNA.
Right. And, that's what I'm saying, though. If you have anyone
But they were found guilty both times.
Before
it's kind of hard to work with him, isn't it? I know.
Well, yeah, because the whole point is that for me, in my opinion, if it goes to before, I mean, because there are so many people that they've been put to death for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
They are not, people went like this. We say him. Yeah, that's not okay. But
DNA proof,
and it's in that respect irrefutable. There have been three trials, basically, because you have your trial and
two
appeals.
Right.
Done. To me, at that point, you're out. Now, if there's some other way to prove it, prove it. But otherwise, die. That would be my death penalty thing.
Yeah. But then, okay.
No, just still not morally opposed.
I'm with Marnie on this.
Okay. So, I mean, and I have to bring it back to the West Memphis 3. They appealed time and time again. They lost every appeal, even with DNA evidence. When they found out it was snapping turtles, that there was no sexual mutilation at all, and they still had to do an Alfred appeal. Not Alfred, but Alfred appeal. And they still had to say, we are not guilty, but we will say it so that sure, he cannot sue sure. you. And these three boys are free. They were over mm-hmm. and over and over again.
And I'm going to tell you that I've seen so certain I always things say, on like, that, but...
Again, I forget that you guys don't watch everything. Oh, my God.
No, I've seen...
This is the most documented case of like... Because the main guy, Damien, whatever his
name
is...
Damien Echols.
Damien Echols...
I watch enough.
...was death row for the entire time. And every single time... The town did a witch hunt.
Sure.
Nancy Absolutely. Grace convicted him.
Because they were, and one of them was not even borderline, would have been considered developmentally disabled. There's no two ways about it.
And that's being kind, because he was a couple kind. Steps below that.
Absolutely.
And he's the, Absolutely. He's the one. So I'm just, that's why I say I'm morally opposed, because we know it fucks up, even on time number three. So my thing is, like, we don't know absolutely. Put them in jail. Mm-hmm. Cost, no cost. It's a human life, and our system is so...
Yeah, but that's so weird, Al, because you just said, if someone murders somebody...
No, I said rape.
I know, but you said if somebody murders somebody, I mean, everybody dies. So how do you say...
No, I'm... That was being flippant about something I didn't mean to be flippant about. But that's that is an inevitable, but you don't have to be traumatized through your life. You know what I mean? We're all going to die at some point.
Right.
But we're not going to be tortured... All these other things, and you know what
I mean? Then I would want something that is put in place, that unless it's proven, like the West Memphis Three, or later on, you are not getting out, like douchebag, who's going to go kill...
You've killed the priest.
Kill the priest.
And what did he do? He confessed. How do we know why one guy was beaten and one guy was shot?
He probably wants three square meals a day in a place to
live. When they interviewed him and they said, why was this guy beaten and this guy shot? He's like, well, I only meant to beat people, but he pulled out a gun.
Right.
So I got the gun from him and shot him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he confessed to the crime.
Right. Sure.
And he's not a mentally challenged person pointing a finger at someone else.
No.
That's the case of the West Memphis Three.
This
is someone saying, I did this. And then I'm okay, maybe you have a death wish. Maybe that's what you want from life. But you just explained your crime and what you did.
I don't know that it's a death wish, especially with...
If you were innocent and you said that, then maybe you have a death wish.
Sure, sure.
And I honestly don't even know if Arizona has a death penalty.
No. And the interesting piece is that...
Because we're not Texas, so we don't execute a person a week.
The interesting thing about Arizona is that there are people that will go out and simply because they know, with homelessness being rampant, they will go out and know that they need to try to overtake a cop to shoot a cop. Not necessarily kill him, but as long as I shoot a cop, I am in jail. I have three square meals a day.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I have a
but
bed.
But that's a whole different...
And you don't know if that... I mean, for instance, with this person...
Three hots and a cot is a whole different argument than the death penalty.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
But everybody knows to break into a house, get caught, and get three hots and a cot because homelessness is... Yeah, that's a whole different
People
argument.
Do all kinds of crazy stuff, yeah.
Like, spend 3 hours listening to our show.
I'm looking up Arizona death penalty, but yeah. I know we have it.
There is one somewhere.
I actually don't know about Arizona because we don't brag like Texas does.
Only a way we could look that up and find out more for next week's show, because I'm sure we will, and hopefully we'll find other things to talk about than death and dismemberment, destruction, and I just feel like there was a cloud over half of this show.
But the middle half was really funny.
Because you were talking, you think. That's all. There's that. It's the show. It's Q Talk America. We are out of here for another week. Glad you were with us. Thank you for being here. We are here 7 to 10 Arizona time every Tuesday night. We'll see you next Tuesday. And with that, we'll say we will
see you next Tuesday.
Going to jump the gun on that one a little bit.
We execute 71-year-old Edward Shad
on Q Talk America.